Hey, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 159, Thrilled with Tom Segura. Here's what we're going to do. I'm very excited about this week's episode. Tom invited me over to his house, and we broke down his album, Thrilled. We just gave commentary on it. I'm also playing the tracks in between every album. It's the same thing I did for my Revenge for the Holocaust with the first podcast of this year. I'm doing it with him. Hopefully more comics do this. I like the idea. Real quick, no sponsors today. Real quick, I'll be in Tempe, Arizona with Joey Diaz, April 3rd through the 5th, I believe. And that's pretty much all until Moon Tower at the end of the month in Austin. But the only LA gigs I have are the 8th. I have my storyteller show, all stories of role models. That's the theme. And then April 20th, I'm doing a Store 20 show at the Comedy Store. Variety show, sketches, stand-up, dancing, videos. I'm trying to put it all together. So it should be fun. It's on April 20th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The show starts at 4:20. No, go smoke at 4:20. We'll start the show at 4:30. I'm calling for Store 20. So a bunch of comics will be there. And that's it. And then all I have left till the end of the year is Santa Fe, Edmonton, and Minneapolis until I go to China in June. Check out arithegreat.com. For all information. You can also get my tour shirts, my 2014 tour shirts up there now. The Skeptic Tank shirts are up there. And I have like 18, 19 copies left of the signed, the personalized signed Revenge for the Holocaust vinyls. They look so good on vinyl. I think I have like 18, 19 left, something like that. Tom Segura, you can find him at tomsegura.com. He'll be this weekend, the 27th through the 30th, in San Antonio, Texas at Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. Then in Virginia Beach, at the Funny Bone, April 2nd through the 6th, and then in Appleton, April 10th through the 16th. No, April 10th through the 12th. Oh, American Comedy Company in San Diego on the 16th. All right. Go to tomsegura.com. Also, this guy has released his album for free. That's what he's doing right now. He's releasing his album for free. Thrilled. Do him a favor. He's bringing this to you so you guys can all enjoy it. Do him a favor. If you have enough money to buy an album online, go buy Completely Normal. It's his new album, Completely Normal, or his one in between that, White Girls with Cornrows, also very funny. Or check out his special on Netflix. It's out there right now, Completely Normal. That's it. Support him. Support the artist. So let's start the episode, all right? We good? Everybody, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 159, Thrilled with Tom Segura. All right, so here's what we're going to do. First of all, it's cool that you're doing this.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting idea, man. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. When I told you about it, you're like, oh. I was like, all right, maybe you'll be into it.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was cool.
I did this for my Revenge for the Holocaust album, and the response was like, finally, like people are doing this stuff. I'd like stand-up to be treated more academically.
Yeah, well, it you know what the thing is? I was talking, you know, do you ever listen to Ron and Fez?
A couple times, yeah.
I did their show. Christina and I did when we were there.
Oh, cool.
This past week. And Ron Bennington is
he's such a good interviewer.
My God. And we were talking about
his Unmasked with Jim Norton.
This is exactly what I was talking about. And how he was saying how, you know, comics never get a chance to do like anything sincere. Because The whole thing is like, hit me with a joke, hit me with a joke.
You can't even take a picture sincerely.
Everything's got to be a joke. But then like you kind of want to, like, first of all, people are curious about you. For real, like, or about the art form, and then comics themselves do want to talk about it, you know, like without it being like radio where they're like, give me a bit.
Well, I hear on NPR sometimes you'll hear a movie director or even an actor or actress or definitely a writer, and like, you know, tell us why you wrote The Chosen.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, well, you know, I was going through a lot in my life, and I would just remember thinking a lot about love and loss, and so then I wanted to write something to really,
sure,
like, but that happens with comedy too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd like to talk about it like that.
Yeah.
So this is your first album.
This is the first one I did, which the album happened by accident.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't trying to do an album.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, I went to...
Already, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. I went... I went to do the club Acme in Minneapolis, which has become like one of my favorite clubs.
Yeah.
And I had done it. I think I'd done it once before. Like, I think I did it the year before was my first time doing it.
Uh-huh.
So I knew it was a great club. And when I got there, at this point, I'm doing stand-up, like, I guess 8 years.
Yeah.
And I just, like, it was, like, the first time where I felt like I had, like, a pretty together hour.
Set.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, where I was, like, it's like a... And so I was thinking of, I want to get these one of these shows recorded just to have this and be like, this is what I'm doing right now.
Is what I'm capable of?
Yeah, and then maybe, like, maybe send it out to people, like, try to get
audio
an
record
album.
It?
What's that?
Audio record it?
Right. Okay. Like, yeah, like maybe get an album from it, or, you know, like get a deal to do one later.
Based on like, well, here's what it'll be.
Here's what like what I'm doing.
Now we can actually do
yeah.
one. Okay.
So I was at the club and I told, the week at Acme starts really early. It starts on Tuesday. It's a Tuesday
wow.
through Saturday week.
It's long.
It's a long ass week. So Tuesday went by and I had a lot of fun at the show. Wednesday show goes well. Thursday, I go to the club for lunch because you're staying like pretty close to the club.
Yeah.
So I come by anytime you want lunch. So I come by at like 1 or something. And I go, oh, by the way, can you record the rest of my sets like so that I can have them? Like, you know, I just want to have a copy.
Sure.
And they go, actually, Rooftop, the company, it's a record company and like a, you know, whatever, a mm-hmm. digital release company. They just installed a whole bunch of new equipment.
One of the clubs that they had that thing set up.
They had the camera set up, but they also said they actually just came in a second time to put in new audio recording equipment. And they can record you remotely from San Francisco.
Hit record.
Like they'll do it, yeah. So why don't you call them? And I go, do you have a number? And then I called them. And then as I told them, I go, can you record my sets? They go, do you want to do an album?
Just like that,
yeah. And I was like, maybe. But I was like, I just want these. Like, it wasn't to try to get an album. I was like, can you just record these?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but do you want to just do an album? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Can you send me some more information?
So, yeah, instead of just like saying, can you do
yeah, one? So anyways, we recorded the like the next few shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In the end, when I went to listen to the shows, they had screwed up two of the...
Recordings?
Yeah, so I only had a couple to choose from.
Yeah.
And I just used the best one.
You just used the best one straight?
Yeah.
You didn't really edit it?
The only thing I edited was, I edited something out stupid. Like when I look back, I go, I don't even know why. Like I edited out something that somebody said. Like I just thought they were dumb. I didn't want to give them attention.
Right.
I was like, nah, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, there is that sometimes like, I don't want you to be part of my
thing. Yeah, I don't want you on my thing.
Uh-huh.
But I believe this is like, I think this is the first show Saturday of that week.
Okay, that's the main show.
Yeah, and
when I recorded one, it was like, for anything, it's probably always mostly from one show, and then you fill it in with the rest.
Yeah.
So this is all first show Saturday.
First show Saturday, and then...
Which is a good show.
Yeah, it's usually a pretty good show, and then it's funny, the first track, I guess, I talk about Minnesota, the Comedy Central executive, one of them that ended up like giving me a half hour based on this set is from Minnesota.
Oh, really?
So they she called me.
10,000 Lakes things.
She called me and she was like, I pulled over because I'm from Minnesota. I was laughing. And
oh, wow.
I was like, really? And like, I didn't, like, sometimes you feel weird. Like, I did local references. Like, am I an idiot for that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but they'll sort of get, I saw Hannibal record his special in Chicago. Uh-huh. And he mentioned something about a specific street.
Yeah. I mean,
but I'm like,
where you
I
are.
Got it. I
yeah,
wasn't
of course.
From there. So,
yeah.
Like, if I get it, then everyone will get it.
That's what you, I mean, that's what I thought.
But if you're from there, you think like, well, people understand this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, they
yeah,
will.
Yeah, they'll get it. Sure.
Land of 10,000 Lakes. They've heard of that.
They've heard of it.
So let's do it like this. Let's just do it track by track, and then you can comment on anything coming up, or did we just heard?
Okay. Should I mute us while we play, like while I play a track?
We can either play them, or if you want to remember them, and we just skip from track to track, I whatever you want.
I'll do what you tell me.
I'll feed them in later.
You'll fill the track in later?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it depends how much you're going to remember it, like with like specific taglines and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, man. Yeah. So that first track, all about, it was just all about Minnesota. I mean, it was like,
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the very funny Tom Segura.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It's great to be in Minnesota. The land of 10,000 lakes. Holy shit. That is a lot of lakes. Very impressive. Also, kind of a showy, boastful motto. Kind of arrogant. And off-putting. How do you think other states feel when they have, like, three fucking lakes? And then you guys are like, well, we have, like, 10,000. That shit's not cool. Like, I don't go around like, hey, I'm Tom, the guy with the 4-inch penis. Because then guys with little dicks would feel bad about themselves. You know what I mean? I'm thoughtful. Is my fly down? What's going on? All right. By the way, I am absolutely losing my fucking mind with how cold it is here. Yeah. I'm glad that humors you. That's great. I go outside and everybody looks at me like I'm a lunatic because I'm dressed to, like, hike the Himalayas, you know? I got, like, two coats on. I got goggles on. I have a radio on my waist. Flare guns. The thing about you guys is you quantify how cold it is way differently than everywhere else, you know? Like, for most people, it's like, oh, it's cold outside. Well, how cold is it? Well, you need a jacket and a hat. But you guys do it based on how long your exposed skin will live. Yeah. That's cool. And I was the other day, I was like, well, how cold is it? Well, if you walk to the mailbox, you might die. What kind of shit is that, man? That's how cold it is. Yeah. Sweet.
Was there any thought to, like, I wanna have something local, referency-wise?
It wasn't. Sort of here's out? The real truth. I was trying. You know, you try things in your career. All these little, like, this was a week that I was wearing a suit. I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you were just trying it.
I was just trying it. I wore.
How long did that last?
2 weeks.
Okay.
I wore a suit for all these shows, and I wore a suit for all the shows the next week, and then I stopped wearing suits. You know why I didn't like it?
Why?
I loved doing the set in the suit. I felt good. I felt comfortable. I felt like authoritative. I liked the whole thing.
Yeah.
Traveling with the suit.
Oh.
I hated that. Like, it was something else to have to maintain.
Or like afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to make
sure. I'm in a suit.
Iron and stuff, all your
yes.
shirts.
All that is why I stopped. Basically, I'll wear a suit when I get an assistant.
Okay.
That's my thought on that.
All right.
And then, oh, here's the other thing. The reason I talk about, I mean, it sounds, I guess, like really obvious about how cold it was, is because I'm wearing the suit, and at this club, you walk to the club. You walk there from the hotel, because it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But it was also, like, January.
You don't want to walk in a suit.
Well, it's so cold, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, Minnesota in the end of January is brutal. So, like, as an outsider, it was a true commentary. Like, it was me going, like, I am so fucking cold right now, because I just walked here. And it's not for walking in.
Yeah, Paul Tompkins always wears that suit. So it's like, really, man? You're going with this?
Oh, he's full invested in. Yeah, yeah.
He has summer suits.
Yeah, he suits day and night. But you do, I mean, everybody basically, every man, almost every guy looks better
good.
In a suit. Yeah,
yeah.
You look good in a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why.
My dad used to pick me up in Israel when I was there. He'd come to visit and he'd wear a suit. And people were like, is your dad like a politician or something? I'm like, no, man, he just likes looking good.
Yeah, he just looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. This next track, the You Know How track, that's like...
Wait, hang on, because I have some questions.
Okay.
First of all, who else introduces you? My guess is John Huck, or was it just a local guy?
No, it was...
I felt like I recognized the voice.
I think that's Brooks.
Brooks Wheelan?
Robinson.
Okay.
Like the name of the baseball player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's Brooks who introduces me.
Oh, that's
pretty
cool.
Sure. Yeah. Local. He's a Minneapolis comic.
Okay.
Funny guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Very funny.
Nice. Yeah, I got your name right. It was all
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. We were, you know, I remember telling him, you know, like he's a guy, I love comics that are down for like silliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna introduce you as deaf. Or like you just got your hearing aid today, and not when they go like no, don't do it. Like I like when they're like, okay,
yeah,
like let's have fun. And Brooks was that, because I remember I told him, I want you to open your set with pussy pussy pussy, I want some pussy. And he was like, okay. So he did. I mean, I said it because it was just ridiculous. Like, we're just backstage. I didn't put thought into it. I just said it to him. And he goes up there and does it, and they're horrified by him, like, saying it. But he gets himself out of it. But, like, we were laughing. Basically, four people were laughing.
I love that shit.
The people who heard.
You say that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And everybody else was like, recently. What the fuck is that?
He was like, what do you want me to say about you? What do you want me to say when I bring you up? And I was like, something political. And he goes, okay. And then he did at the Nerd Melt. He was just like, you know, Crimea is a terrible situation. And he went off like a minute and it got weird. And he's like, that's how he asked me to introduce him. And I was like, fuck yeah, bro.
That's really funny to me.
Yeah.
That's somebody who I want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Christian Spicer. That's who it was.
That's like the whole point of hanging out with comics.
Yeah.
When you do that, when you throw that at somebody and they're like, I don't want to do that. You're like, dude, have fucking fun with me.
Yeah.
That's all I want you to do. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. We're here. We're comics.
Yeah.
Don't be so profesh. All right. What's in the second bit?
This was like a really silly thing that I remember saying, like I can actually remember walking down the street saying this to myself. It's really short. You mean to play it?
Sure.
I'll just play. You want to hear it?
Oh yeah. We can absolutely do that. I just listened to this yesterday.
Oh,
so
you
I,
did?
Yeah. So I know it, but like, oh, play okay. It, absolutely.
All right. Here it is here.
You guys, you know how sometimes when you're smoking crack, you're like, Jesus Christ, this pipe is so hot, it's gonna burn my goddamn lips off. But I don't really care, because this crack is so good. That's how I feel about Outback Steakhouse's shrimp on the Barbie. That shit is hot, but that shit is good. You know what I'm saying?
That was just like nonsense that really amused me.
Hold on a second. What was?
The joke there.
Yeah.
Like I remember coming up with that.
Yeah, where were you? What were you doing?
I was the thing I remember is saying it, walking down Silver Lake Boulevard when I lived there.
Yeah.
And just saying it and just thinking, like, I liked the Mr., like, saying, you know how sometimes when, like telling the person, you know how you smoke crack?
Right.
Like, that to me.
We can all relate on crack smoking.
Exactly.
Yeah, it opens with a punchline, too.
Right.
You're like, right away, you know how sometimes it's three words in, four words in, and you're like, when you're smoking crack, it's like, immediately there's a laugh. Like, where are you going with this?
Yeah. And I remember saying it to, like, I remember saying it to Christina,
mm-hmm.
but, like, saying it. Not as a performance, like as just like, hey, yeah, oh, I came up with this joke today.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Sometimes when you're smoking crack, she was like, what? The first time she heard it, she ended up loving it. But I remember telling her, walking like into my place there, and her being like, what? Like, because it just wasn't like, you know, flushed out.
Yeah,
it was like
finished.
A weird thing. And then I also remember thinking like, man, because it's a 45 second, like with the laughing at the end thing. It's like, man, those guys that write those like
one-liners.
Jesus Christ.
You got to hold. You got to know where to hold and where not
like,
to.
Like, that's basically the only one of those, pretty much.
In this hour.
In this hour.
Yeah.
Is like me saying, you know, and then the rest of it is at least, you know, these things are like a minute to 3 minutes to, you know, four.
Didn't you used to have that as something else, like jalapeno poppers?
I don't think so.
I feel like the first time I saw it was at the improv.
Maybe I did. Yeah. That was like
when you first started thinking about it, were you thinking about it in terms of a specific type of food or no?
I was looking for a food to compare that was like what's hot, like, you know, like the crack is pipe is burning your lips, so what could be
so hot like that?
So hot,
but you can't stop smoking the crack. You can't stop eating it,
even
though it's burning your.
And then I remember shrimp on the Barbie, literally from going to like Outback with like my dad and him getting shrimp on the like. So it came, and it's like it's such a ridiculous like it's such a ridiculous name. For, like it makes me laugh. Like the name. Hey, let me get a shrimp on the Barbie. Like, it's so
saying, I'll get the shrimp.
Yeah, it's so artificial. You know, it's like let's be Australian. Like
during this order,
yeah, so ridiculous.
Yeah, not even the whole restaurant's Australian. Yeah. It's just like specifically right then is Australian.
I remember going to Montreal and doing that bit and calling Ian Bagg and be like, "You guys have Outback?" And he was like, "Yeah."
Oh yeah,
yeah. Hey, Outback. Can I sell shrimp on the Barbie? Like, yeah, they'll get it. Yeah, they'll get it.
I feel like that'll work even if they don't have any idea what that is.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, it's a restaurant and a weird thing they have.
Yeah, exactly. It would probably still work. He said that he was like, yeah, and it worked. It still got a laugh.
But yeah.
It's so.
So you had the thought about the crack pipe first and then
put a food to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. If I had to guess, I would have been like, you got those jalapeno poppers and the cheese melted down. You're like, ow, but you ate more. Right. And you're like, oh, there's like, and then made the comparison.
Oh, right.
But no, that's interesting. No.
Yeah, and I liked that, that basically I'm saying, the way that you're a drug addict, I like food like that, but you're the drug addict. You're the person with the real problem.
It is a good double comparison because food is kind of like a drug.
It is, yeah. It's
and like you're clearly showing that
but
it is.
But all of you know what crack's like. That I'm talking about food for me.
That's something you wouldn't know about.
Yeah, I don't know about it, but I'm trying to relate to you, the drug addict.
To your crackhead behavior. That's funny.
I hope you're all having a wonderful New Year's. I have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to share it with you now. This year, my goal is to get really, really, really crazy super fat. I want to put on somewhere between 500 and 800 pounds, all right? Now, I know I'm not there yet. You got to give me some... I just fucking started doing this, but... Hopefully, when I hit my goal, I will celebrate by being removed from my apartment by a crane and lowered down to a stretcher that's on loan from the city zoo. Something normally reserved for bison and rhinos. And then I'll get whisked away to the hospital on a flatbed truck where I will not only receive a new heart... But I will get the crowning achievement for fat men, the motorized cart. Yes. Have you seen a fat man on a motorized cart? Nothing says you're committed to being fat than when you've eaten yourself out of walking. You know what I mean? I've eaten myself out of breath before, you know? There you go. Okay, I'm ready for more. All right. But I could still stand. And then what I'll do is I will get a portable battery-operated blender that I'll keep between my tits. And then I'll just zippity-doo-dah around town, and I'll point at shit I want to eat. I won't even speak. Meh, 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 meh. To cookies and cake and burgers and soda. And you can mix it up in my blender, and I'll just tilt my flabby, fat fucking neck back. Blah, 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 blah. Meet me. So that's my dream. You should always dream big.
The next one, I was thinking the first bit and the third bit are from that week, which is always fun to like.
What do you mean?
Well, like the first bit is all Minnesota stuff. Right? Yeah. And then the third bit.
Goals?
That's not like my act. I just like started saying that week. I started it like, it came from another idea I had from another bit, and then I kind of reshaped it, but I hadn't said it. And then I was saying it, like I started saying it Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, and then you know, better. Like it really like.
And it was hidden?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say it after that week. It was like, my goal is to gain 500 to 800 pounds this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just after the new year, and I was like, you know, I have a goal this year, is to gain like 800 pounds.
Yeah.
And then basically making fun of people on like motorized carts. Like the whole thing was like, you know, you've really arrived when you can't walk anymore. So it was like a whole. And the bit is like a rant about being crazy and like having a, when they cut the wall out and they remove you on the crane.
Yeah.
And like take you to the
Gilbert Grape style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they take you on the flatbed truck. Like,
I want to be taken out.
Yeah. It's such an extreme, like when people are so immense, like it's so extreme to me.
Yeah.
That,
to and get that fat.
That's like, that's a really, really crazy.
Yeah, everybody talks about them as like, don't they get to this level and say that's enough? But there's no specific level.
No.
Like, boom, oh, you're over this much. It just slowly.
Basically, you realize that I think that the number where it's just all over after that is pretty much three. Four. I think four. Not that you want to get there, but you basically, three people can like usually kind of, they can pull it back.
Still walk around.
Yeah. Yeah, and they can be like, I can change my shit and like lose weight and, you know.
No one's four.
Four, you hit four, and if you're in your 30s and you hit four, you're going to hit five.
Right.
You know, and then you're going to go to six, and then you're on the flatbed truck.
At four, you got to be like, I got to stop this right now, or let's just commit to dying at 48.
And I've watched those shows, and they all are like, I was 235, and then I hit three, and then you see like the photo, you're like, oh, at three, they're like, it's just pretty fat.
Yeah.
Like you're a fat guy at 300. And then, but when they hit four, you're like, whoa, it's the big, it's the crossing point where it's the tipping point where you just go like, you're going to go downhill from here.
Diaz for a while wanted to go to 350, under 350, because then he could measure himself on like a doctor's scale.
Is he more than that?
He was for a while, and they were like, oh.
Was he like close to four?
Yeah, he was. I think he was over four.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's really big.
Yeah, and then he pulled it back.
Yeah, so he was able to. Wow, but he got over
his goal
four.
Was to get to 350.
To get to 350.
Yeah, that was, wow. So that was a good first moment. I was like, all right, I can weigh myself.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a real big dude.
I did notice something in this bit.
Yeah.
That when you said, because you have a specific way of speaking on stage.
Yeah.
How'd you develop that?
I think it's... part of it is like definitely just being influenced by people. I was talking the other day about how like I was such a fan of Chris Rock that like if you go before this stuff, like before I was, you know, headlining any club.
Yeah.
I would like when I've seen like old stuff of mine, I pace like him. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So where you're influenced by comics, you'll be them for 6 months. And another guy for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. And like, if you're a young comic, you know, it's not something to feel weird about. If you're like, if you're in your first few years, it's totally normal.
Art painters go through that. They have a Picasso phase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to do some abstract stuff. And then they go through another phase.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this, I would say my biggest influences at this point are still like Rock, Attell, and I think those are the two biggest ones.
Wow, you talk so much slower than them, though.
Yeah, it's so just, but deliberate. It's, you know, it's about like your interpretation of that, you know? So
right, your version of that thing.
Yeah, this is my most, by far, of like, because now I have this, the white girls and the new one, completely normal. This is the most, like, things are the most deliberate and the most methodical. Like, I was saying the bit like this every single time because that's how I, you know, that was just the way
that's how I did it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I think it came, I mean, it's a progression. Like I was, like I said, I thought I was Chris Rock for 2 years and then I probably thought I was somebody else. And then, you know, your cadence just becomes like how you think saying something is like how to say it's funny.
Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne said he was really influenced by the Beatles.
Really?
I was like, what?
Yeah, when I say rock to people, they're like, what are you talking about?
And I'm but
like,
you know something in there.
It's but I like, know what it is, yeah. And I know, like it's really, if you watch the stuff I'm telling you about, like for me, you'd be like, holy shit, you're doing a bad Chris Rock impression.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, I'm crouching, and I'm doing like hand shit of his, and I'm like leaning and hitting punchlines like this. And like, I'm doing an impression of him.
Wow.
And I'm not even aware that I'm doing it at the time. I can just look at it now and go like, oh, yeah, like that's an impression.
Yeah, that's what it is. David Taylor says all comedians, when they start, are just doing an impression of a comedian.
He's 100%
right. Like, this is what I think they are, right?
Yeah, I think he's right. I mean, remember when it would be like, 05, 06, how many Danes you saw around town?
A lot of Danes.
Oh, my God.
A lot of Brodies when Brody came to town.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see as many Brodies, but I remember specifically... seeing Dane before he exploded.
Yeah.
And then when he hit, and then just going everywhere and just seeing like all these Dane duplicates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's like all these Danes. because they were in high school when he was
right.
huge.
That, now that he's doing comedy,
they were
yeah.
influenced specifically by him. He's getting upset
about
it.
Who's the big guy people are doing an impression of now? I'm trying to think.
I don't know if I see a lot of comics doing the same thing. There's a lot more Danes now.
There are more Danes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like they're taking his act. It's really just like super, you can tell the influence. That's all.
Yeah.
There was a moment in there too where you said something like, when you said like, my goal is to get, you know, over 500 to 800 pounds overweight. But then you drop into like normal speak and you're like, I mean, I just started, relax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like a weird, like a difference between this stylized way of talking right. and then back to who you like really are.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I mean, this is like,
do you do any of that on purpose?
Was I doing that on purpose?
Yeah.
I don't think I was deliberately, I think I thought of that as part of the performance. Like, mm-hmm. give me a break. I'm not there yet. Like that was part of the joke. But I didn't want to separate the way I speak. But I just know that, like, you know, the way I'm talking in this is like, it's just at the time. This is a representation. Yeah. I had trouble with it where, like, there was a part where, like, I really hated this album.
Really?
Yeah, like.
A part of the album or why?
No, just I hated the album like a year or so after it came out. And then now I've gotten to the point where I go, oh, you know what? This is an accurate representation of who I was as a comic that year. So
yeah,
I just hate it less. I don't hate it anymore. I go like, yeah, but that's who I was.
There's this Eels album, Electroshock Blues.
Yeah.
And in the year after he had released his album before that, his mom died, his aunt got cancer, his girlfriend left him, and someone else died. And there was an earthquake in L.A.
Jesus.
Like a bad one. And it was all about loss and there's a song called Hospital Food.
But
you're like, this clearly is what this guy was going through.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it does give you that representation.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of stuff I can criticize heavily from the writing, the performing, the cadence, the everything. But I go like, yeah, but that's who you were.
Yeah, yeah. This is still available on iTunes now, right?
Thrilled is.
And I should say this a bunch of times throughout the whole thing. Your new album is out right now.
As of today, it
just came out.
Yes.
And it is called...
Completely Normal.
Tom Segura, Completely Normal.
It's on iTunes. It is, in my opinion, I think it's the best stuff I've done. And it's like I'm happy with the result and I feel like it's a good representation of me now. You know, so I mean, I feel like it's much more, you know, that whole thing is like the longer you do it, the more it's like you on stage and not like what you think you should be doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think it's pretty close to that.
Wow. Fuck yeah. Fuck you know? And it's still an hour.
It's an hour. Yeah.
15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's 58 minutes, the new one. Yeah. The special is a little longer because I put some bits from my second album on it.
Yeah. What was I just going to say? I shouldn't do that. Do you see anybody's album sometimes at like 40 minutes and you're like,
That's crazy short, man. Yeah. You can't have a 40 minute stand up album. I mean, but
Weezer put out a lot of 35 minute albums.
Who did?
Weezer.
Did they really?
The green album was like 31. The blue album's almost 40.
There's something about stand up where I feel like you can do 45 minutes is fine at a club
set. It's not
totally
like,
fine.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's just fine.
Yeah. But as a release, I think you should put out longer than that. I think you should.
I think it should be an hour at a club too, just because like this is my version of my special of where,
yeah, I mean,
you know, whatever.
I have no problem. And I'll tell you, I didn't mean to go that long at the,
Acme.
No. At the taping of the special, because the special is longer than the album.
Yeah.
You know, I told you about, like, basically I shot a special and I cut out bits for the album that were on another album. So I didn't want to resell it. Yeah, exactly. The White Girls
album. You wanted them seen.
Exactly. Because a lot of people don't understand that, like, when you're talking about albums, even with massive names, like you're like guys who you're like, oh, that person has millions of fans.
Yeah.
They sell 10,000 albums. And if they just release an album and nothing else, you're talking about like 10,000
people
hearing that thing. But if you have the chance to put it on a special, you're opening up the door for potentially hundreds of thousands of people to see it. So you want to showcase the bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't want people that have already bought White Girls and Cornrows to be like, oh,
exactly.
We've heard this already. So yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. What's the next bit? Fat.
What is this? Is that you?
Yeah, it's Fahim on War calling me.
The next one is Fun Game. Oh, I like that bit, actually. That's one of the ones I
read. Fun Game?
That's what I have.
Why did I write down Fat Game?
No, here it is here. I think this is it. Yeah.
By the way, if you spend a lot of time in the car, you have road trips, long trips, you want to kill some time, play this game. I made it up. Try to describe celebrities by using your friends. You could play for hours, you know? Like, you could be like, Britney Spears! She looks like our friend Amanda, except bloated and skankier. 2 points.
You don't like it?
Denzel Washington. He looks like our friend Tony, except, you know, not Chinese. And you can keep playing for hours. Until you get to old rock stars, you can't do it. Nobody fucking looks like them, okay? You can't be like, Keith Richards, Rolling Stones. Remember your friend that drowned a couple years ago? Like that. What? Sorry, that's the best I could do. You do not have a friend that looks like Keith Richards, okay? And if you do have a friend that looks like Keith Richards, then you know Keith Richards. That's fucking awesome. That's him. Ask him for tickets.
Well,
that to me, like, what that, like, when I hear that now,
you're shaking
your
head.
I go, like, that's such a, it's such an obviously the result of, like, just being in clubs. Like, it's such a club.
If you don't have a friend, you know,
if
you don't think you have any friends that are annoying, guess what?
It's you're like, the annoying one. And it's like talking, I can tell that, like, you know, that came from, like, talking to audience, and, like, that comes from, like, intimate. You don't develop that kind of bit from, like, if I was just doing, like, theaters. Like, it's totally a club style joke.
To
me, that's what it hits at.
Yeah. Where did that come from? Is that something you did?
I think because I had a joke before I had the bit, like, it was almost like, like, I liked saying, you know, you look like your friend, like Denzel Washington, you look like him, except, you know, not Chinese. Like I have that thought first, and I try to build, I think I built around that bit around that. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm always interested sometimes. Sometimes the joke I have to start off the bit eventually gets dropped off the bit.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
But, like, it's all based on this thing.
Or the other thing that people, like, sometimes don't realize is when they go, like, you know, when I didn't realize that when somebody said, like, oh, I have writers, like, they, like, you know, people, like, some comics have writers, that the writer can sometimes be somebody that says, like, what about this? Like, let's say I suggest something to you.
Yeah.
You don't use what I say, but what I say prompted a thought in you, you develop your own thing. Then I just helped you write that, but you're not using
the actual thing
what
you,
I said.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, right? Like, that you go, like, oh, yeah, like, because you can have a conversation with somebody, you say something, I don't use that, but it gets a thought going.
Yeah. What'd you drink out of the cup? It's not about what I drink. Oh, the cup. The cups were all shaped in, like, colored blue.
And then you just go off.
Yeah, and then you go off on the color blue for a while, and you're like, you helped me with that, but not really.
I made ribs just for you. I have to get them off now.
Okay, we can stop.
Yeah, we have to stop. Later. Okay.
So let's go back. We'll finish off with something gay.
Yeah,
something gay. All right.
I got to be honest with you. I did something really gay the other day. Now, when I say gay, I don't mean like lame. Like when people are like, that movie was gay. And you're like, why? Well, because the car chase only lasted 10 seconds. That was gay. That's not what I mean. I mean like that movie was gay. Why? Because there were 14 guys blowing 19 guys. All right? So, I go to the grocery store, right, and I put all the items on the belt. And then, when I'm done, I take the divider thing, you know, you put down, and you're like, this is my shit, you keep your shit away from my shit, right? And then, you know, you always check out who's, like, behind you, and they give you that very, like, very judgmental, those are your purchases, huh, kind of thing. Hemorrhoid cream and hot sauce. I see you like to party. All right. You're like, yeah, I do. All right. Keep your shit away from my shit. All right. So, naturally, I checked. I give them the once over, right? Like, yeah. And I notice that this guy has this really, I mean, tremendously impressive bulge in his pants, right? Like, now, let's get something out of the way. There are a lot of fake bulges out there, okay? A lot of Europeans, especially Italian guys, they will wear like really tight underwear and then really tight jeans, but that's like putting your dick in a headlock. That's not like a real bulge, all right? And you will see that bulge right here. It'll look like a fist. Don't look at that bulge twice. It's misleading and deceiving, all right? The guy I was standing next to, he had a bulge over here, all right? So, naturally, I was like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, it looked like it had its own feeding schedule and healthcare plan, right? So I'm looking at it, and then you should know, okay, my dick, all right. Like, you know you have an unimpressive penis when women compliment your balls. You know what I mean? When they're like, great balls. And you're like, thanks. What's the criteria for that? They're round and the bag is sealed? Who doesn't have a nice pair of nuts? So, I'm totally into this dude's meat rod, right? I'm just like staring. And then I hear 3362. 3362. Sir, your total is 3362. So I go, oh shit, I'm supposed to pay right now, but everybody sees me staring at this dude's hog. So then I come up with a plan. Well, I just have to look like I was thinking, because you can look anywhere when you're thinking. You know, you can be like, So that's my plan, right? So I go from him, I turn to the cashier and I go, I just can't remember if I was supposed to get orange juice. And she goes, well, why don't you ask his dick? It looks like you want to say something to it. I just left all my shit there and I walked out. That was humiliating.
We finished our ribs.
Oh God, they were so good. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Golly.
Yeah, I remember you said it before, so I was planning the whole time of making it.
I thought I just said barbecue and then you said ribs and I was like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not impossible.
Because I've never made ribs in the barbecue. I wouldn't even think of like how we could do that.
Yeah, we'd made them. It took us, we made them over the course of about four and a half hours. Oh,
they were off the bone.
Nice. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
And that Salt Lick stuff was delicious.
I love that stuff. Yeah. That stuff is good.
Okay, so we just finished Fun Game. Right on Fat Game, whatever. So
no, I'm fat.
So what we just heard was Something Gay.
Okay, yeah. That one, there's a few things I remember about that.
Okay.
First of all, I remember, you know, like, what I remember is that I was at a Levi's store in San Francisco, and I was waiting to check out.
Yeah.
And I noticed the guy next to me had a massive cock.
Yeah, I want to know. So, okay. Where did it come from? Yeah,
right.
Okay.
So, like, I remember basically just noticing this guy's enormous fucking hog.
Black or
pants.
White?
White guy.
Wow, that makes it even better, because it's not about racial
and
at all.
It was, like, just fucking, like, just girthy.
In his jeans.
In his jeans. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And I then just, like, looking up at him and him just, like, basically just looking at me like, yeah, I got a huge cut. Like, it was very, you know, there was no dialogue.
But he knew what you were looking at and he was fine with it.
Yeah, and I was in San Francisco, so that night I started, like, that's when you know, that's one of the first times I think I ever, like, did something that day. That night, took it to like a pretty big room.
Yeah, where? Punchline or Cobbs?
I think Cobbs.
Okay.
And then like just started talking about it, like started shaping the bit, you know? So I took
immediately.
Immediately. Yeah.
Wow.
And then basically the bit takes shape because you start finding jokes and you make it make sense. So like in the bit, I say I'm in the grocery store. I'm really not in the grocery store. I was in a clothing store.
But you got to make it make somewhere. The main key is for all these bits is here's the thing. I saw this giant cock and it threw me off.
The element of truth exactly is that.
Yeah.
And then I just added all this stuff. The cool thing, I ended up doing that bit on my Comedy Central Presents, the half hour.
Did they ask for that?
No, it was a submitted, and I remember doing it. I remember it crushed at the taping. They cut out part of it, which always is like, fuck, but it really crushed, and which I was like obviously happy about. Then this was the only time, like I always think it's really cool when comics, like when like fans of comics just do cool shit, like creative stuff where like a comic will be like, oh, I'm doing fucking a Calgary. And then somebody makes you like a badass poster. Like I always thought, I'm always like, oh, that's so rad that like a fan did it for that comic. This bit, somebody animated on their own.
And really?
And just sent it to me.
Oh,
like,
fuck,
I animated your bit.
And is that online? Do you have it?
It's on my YouTube page.
Oh, okay.
So if you type in Tom Segura, something gay, or it's on your site, somebody animated it on their own.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
On YouTube, yeah. So I remember like seeing that being like, that is so cool that somebody did that.
Yeah. Who was just out of the blue? They just did it.
It was a fan of a guy. The guy listens to Patrick Melton's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody Likes Onions. Yeah. And so he was just like, I've heard you on that show and I heard this bit, and then he just made it.
Wow.
That was cool. Yeah.
I noticed you have a lot of, non-segues, like fresh, like, you know what I mean, clean outs for bits.
Oh yeah,
is that on purpose, or is that, I couldn't tell if that's the way you were editing your CD, but you told me it wasn't really edited. So
yeah, it's not edited. No, that's just the way I just kind of.
Do you feel like you need them?
I don't know, sometimes yes. It's not like there's times where I'm like I have one now that I'm working on where I'm like, I don't know if I'm out of that yet. Like I feel like I need it, you know, when you're like, I need another joke for this bit. And then I've had comic friends be like, no, that's it.
It's done. Right.
And I go, really? And they're like, yeah. But like, I see it differently, you know? And I'm like, I mean, do you feel like it's done? Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
I mean, just in terms of segues, like, let's say you finish that bit about you know, something gay.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people were like, oh, so there's a lot of gay stuff, but what's the next bit? You said, oh, judge people? You shouldn't judge people?
I say you should judge people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So a lot, it could be a like a segue, like, oh, you know, so you got to worry about you seeing gay stuff because people might judge you. And, you know, maybe you shouldn't judge people. Like, or you could just finish it.
Yeah.
And go, hey, do you guys notice how people judge each other?
Right.
And I don't know if one's better or worse.
I don't know, man.
Here's a new thought.
Yeah, I kind of go into like no segue. I think I there's a few times when I look back on like all of these albums and I see that like there are the natural progressions.
Mm-hmm.
Like this flows into that nicely. Like figuring out an album is a whole thing. Figuring out your hour, like what goes where.
Yeah.
That's a whole process.
How do you do it?
I feel like I do it just by like trying different, like sometimes you get married to the set.
Mm-hmm.
You go, this goes before that and that goes before this. And sometimes the hard thing to do is to go, the thing you do seventh, do first this time.
Just to try it. Yeah,
and sometimes sometimes you find that order works fantastic.
I get new material out of it too.
Yep. It throws off your comfort with doing the bit a certain, or the act, the set a certain way.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you find out like, dude, I got to do that shit at the top.
Oh, right. Where you're like, oh, it works out perfectly.
It's perfect when that shit's third.
Why didn't I do that?
I don't know why. And then sometimes you go like, that thing that I've always done in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If I like, so I feel like sometimes you figure out like, oh, if I do it at minute 50, it's just not as good.
Yeah. Or you can have like two, like, let's just say extra filthy bits or two political bits or whatever. You're like, I need to separate these. I need to have them 20 minutes away from each other.
They do. Yeah. Sometimes you go, dude, all that cock talk, it, like all bundled together. It's a little much.
You don't want people going, all right.
Yeah. The guy with Jesus. Yeah.
the cock guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can tell by looking at me, but I watch a lot of television. Right? And I recently caught a marathon of the show How Winning the Lottery Changes Your Life. I don't know if you've seen this show or not. I think it's on TLC. It is a huge piece of shit. First of all, is there a need for that show? Like, are there people sitting around wondering how winning the lottery changes your life? Where they need to see it in pictures now? Like, I've never won the lottery. I have a pretty good idea what happens. I think you have a lot more shit now. End of show. That's the show. You don't need a show. Everybody on the show was boring, all right? Really boring. Until they got to the guy that won the biggest lottery ever. $350 million. That's a lot of scratch. And he took pride in the fact that he's never changed. Like, he still goes to work every day, he still drives the same old car, and he still doesn't have any teeth. What? Yeah. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I had $350 million, I'd be buying other people teeth, you know? I'd just walk down the streets and be like, hey, smile, want some teeth? It's on me. Speaking as a guy with a full set of chompers, I can tell you that having teeth is fucking awesome. And if you only have $15, you should use that money as a down payment for teeth. Not only will you get to enjoy all the cuisines of the world, but you also won't look like, well, like you don't have any teeth. Get some fucking teeth, man. Now, some of you, I can tell, you're like, that's not cool, all right? I don't judge people. I'm not one to judge. Okay, you are lying. And if you're not lying, you're stupid. You should judge people all the time. That's how you get through life. Like, whenever I see a guy that doesn't have any teeth, I think, huh, I bet he knows where to get some crystal meth. Right? I'm judging. If I see a man wearing a pair of Velcro strap sandals, I think, there's a guy that hates to get laid. Right? You're not fucking that guy, are you? No. Guys with ponytails. Holy shit. That is a bold look. Listen up. There's only two kinds of guys with ponytails. Rapists and folk singers. So if you don't see a banjo, run. That guy's gonna fuck you. He might not. I don't fucking know. But he might.
You should judge people. I realize, like, people have told me too, and I started to see it more, that I get a lot of stand-up out of, like, judging people.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's like a thing to, like, you know, criticizing and judging people is like, I mean, a lot of comics do. I'm not saying I'm unique in that way, but, like, I do it a lot.
I used to have tried a bit at open mics when, you know, just performing to comics, but yeah. It's like, you know, they say some people see the world through rose-colored glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But comedians really see it through idiot-colored glasses.
Yeah.
Like, how is this guy an idiot? How is that guy an idiot?
That's it.
How am I an idiot?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And my criticisms of myself are from me looking like, that's so fucking stupid that I do that, and then I make fun of myself on stage.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? I realize what type of person I hate.
What?
The one that doesn't criticize something.
Right. Refuses to.
I used to have a day job, and I was still doing stand-up during, you know, at night, and I had this gig, and like I feel like comics, the natural thing is you're like, hey, how about that show? It fucking sucks. Like, yeah. That's what comic, like, that's a piece of shit. Unless it's, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then this guy would be like, you say that about like everything. You're always saying everything sucks. I'm like, 'cause it does.
Most stuff sucks.
And then I go, you say that about nothing. Like, you're so lame. Like, I would just tell him, like, it's so boring to talk to you because you never have an opinion on anything.
They worked really hard on it, guys.
Oh, for fuck's sake. And I was just like, always like, dude, like, And then I realized that, like, that's the thing about, like, comics or just comedy in general. Like, if you're doing stand-up, you have to have an opinion. You don't have to have an opinion about everything, but you have to have an opinion on some things.
Yeah.
Those are the things you're going to talk about.
The things you talk about, sure. Yeah.
So you should judge people. That I always feel like it was, like, is really a true statement. Like, what? You know, but, like, the cliche, like, the thing that people say is, like, don't judge people. But my whole thing was, like, no, you absolutely should.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you should judge them based on appearances. And I remember having jokes in that, like, that's, like, one of some of the jokes in there are, like, some of the first jokes that I was, like, oh, some of these are, like, pretty good jokes.
That worked in your career?
Yeah. Like, where I would, like, I could do them, like, there's jokes in that, like, when I had a joke about ponytails.
Yeah.
I remember I did that joke in front of, like, you know, just, like, bigger, established comics.
Yeah.
And then being, like, that's a really good joke. Like,
nice.
And you feel like, it gives you confidence. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, like, you know.
Did you work, there's a line in there, rapists and folk singers.
Yeah.
Did you work that out, both folk singers and rapists, back and forth?
That's the ponytail joke, uh-huh. Right? And then that was a joke where, like, I was, like, jotting down, like, this way, like, this line, and then does that work? And, I got to, yeah, rapists and folk singers. I felt like I had rapists, but what was the other
comparison.
Thing? The comparison. Yeah. And then the folk singers one, I really like it. It's one of those I was like, ah, like, that's the line to go with. And then I did it. And
did you ever try it, folk singers and rapists?
I don't think I tried it that way. I tried something besides folk singers.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And then I had to find, like, what would the folk singer have if he does? Oh, then I think the line after that at the end, like, is if he doesn't have a banjo, run.
Right. Because he won't be a folk singer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, I was figuring out what instrument. So remember, I was trying.
It's funny because banjo is also associated with male on male rape in the woods. Because of the
deliverance.
Yeah.
It's a very good point. Never thought of that.
I just thought of it now, but now when I was listening to it.
It's too late to edit that now.
Lucky for me, there was another show on afterwards. This one was called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't know your vagina was the Metrodome. Exactly how many people need to be in there before you realize somebody's in there? The show, by the way, it's not like, oh, I missed my period. Turns out I'm 6 weeks pregnant. No, full term. I didn't have a clue I was 9 months pregnant. Really? Every woman on the show, just so you know, is Mexican, okay? I'm just saying, they're all Mexican. So you know this isn't the first time that they've been pregnant, right? Oh, really? Oh, really? We're going to play that game? Mexicans don't have babies? Indian people smell good and Puerto Ricans won't stab you in broad daylight? You want to do that? All right. Here's my question to all the señoritas that don't know there's a baby inside of you. Did you forget all the symptoms? You put on 50 pounds. You think that's from all the churros that you've been eating? You have a bubble belly, swollen feet. What about the kicking? The kicking, ladies. Hey, put your hand right here. What's that feel like to you? It feels like you have a fucking baby inside of you. No, I just got a fart. I got a fart real bad. Then they get to the question that you're dying to ask, which is, well, when did you know you were pregnant? And they all answered the same way. Well, one day I was walking around and I was like, fuck, I gotta take a shit. But then when I went to shit, it wasn't a shit. It was a baby. And you're like, okay, Hemingway, I see what you're saying. But it does beg the question, if what you thought was going to be a shit turns out to be a baby, what kinds of shits are you normally taking? I'm a pretty big dude. I've taken some mean shits in my life. I've never had a 7-pound, 5-ounce shit. If I did, I would reevaluate everything in my life. Physically, psychologically, spiritually, I'm making changes, and so should you, Marisol. I'm just saying.
This pregnant white Mexicans.
Yeah.
I heard that in a car that I just rented somewhere. And it was playing on that 24/7 comedy radio. Uh-huh. What's that called? Is that what it is? 24/7 radio?
Yeah, 24/7.
Yeah. And man, I laughed.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it came out of the blue.
Yeah, I remember doing that one. We watched. I get stuff. I have insecurity about doing bits about television shows. Sometimes I'll be like, I don't know. I just feel like I feel like there's more value in talking about
sociological things instead of like,
just something in your life mm-hmm. versus TV. But then the way that I've got peace with it.
Yeah.
Is just being like, yeah, but I mean, I do watch these shows. So,
right.
Like, I mean, in my new special, I must talk about fucking 4 shows, like, spread throughout, you know?
You don't get worried that, like, 5 years will pass and people are like, what is that?
I just accept it. Yeah. I wanted to cut some of it out, and then I would go like, yeah, but I am watching that show.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
You heard every comic talking about To Catch a Predator. I mean, everybody had their own
To Catch a Predator. Yeah, I didn't have one of those. Like, I never chased, like, for the TV ones. It's the one that, like, as I'm watching it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's natural. Like, you just go, right. Like, I don't go, like, I need a bit I should write a bit about. I did watch To Catch a Predator, but I never had, like... Yeah. The joke about it. And then when you see other people talking about it. Now,
that Crocodile Hunter.
This was, I had one for him.
That was even worse. Most people had one.
I didn't put it on an album, but I had one for him.
Thank God. I don't want anyone having a record of this.
No,
thought you were so like unique, and then you're like, oh, everyone's doing almost the same thing.
But that's the thing, too, is that you don't realize sometimes, like, the Pregnant Wild Mexican was about the show I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. And it was just like a very that was the name of the show. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the jokes came very...
You don't have to know the show. I don't know the show.
Right.
But I still got it fine.
And I remember doing actually, the funny thing was, I did that joke probably the second time I'd ever done it at Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach on an off night, meaning it was like a charity night. So what they said was that like the rules, like for people that don't know that club...
Generally very clean.
Yeah, it's a pretty clean club. So it was like a special event. It was closed to the public.
Yeah.
So they told me, they're like, you can do whatever you want.
Because they
like,
don't care.
No, yeah.
Care.
They're like, no rules apply. Do whatever you want. And I remember I did the bit and it got like a really good reaction. But I was also booked the next night to work the regular Hermosa Beach Club. Yeah. And the manager was like, that was great. He goes, hey, you're not doing that tomorrow night, right? Like, and I go like, oh no. He's like, yeah, that's don't do that. And I was like, no, I won't do that tomorrow night.
They told me once, they're like, I'd love to come back here when I went with Rogan. Because uh-huh. Rogan was there, they tell people make reservations like, this isn't a regular show.
It right.
will be dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I'd love to come back here. They're like, some of your stuff's kind of too out there for us. And I was like, maybe some of my cleaner stuff. And they were like, we didn't see that we could even. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
Man. So that bit, I got a pretty good reaction from that.
Yeah. Did that part where you go, oh, really? When they sort of turn on you or moan, did that come out of a frustration of that constantly getting the moan? So were you playing the oh, really? Or was it,
No, it was from the no, it wasn't planned. It became part of the bit, right? Like I knew I was going to say it
because people are going to get a moan right there.
Because I was getting moans.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's fun how you do that. You write in a response to a reaction that you haven't gotten yet,
yeah,
but you know you will get
you it. You know you're going to get it, yeah.
Chipotle told me about some opener that's some joke, but he goes, what's her name is running for president? Clinton?
Uh-huh.
Barbara Clinton.
Sounds Hillary? Wrong.
Hillary Clinton, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he goes, well, women can't be president, and here's why. He goes, one, they're too emotional, and two, they're just not very smart. And all the women just go, oh, and he goes, see, too emotional.
Oh, that's, yeah, yeah.
But you need them. You have to know they're going to react.
Yeah, you
or
do.
You can't do the punchline.
No, of course. Yeah, I mean, you get those and they basically, their reaction becomes guaranteed.
Yeah.
You've done it. You're like, I know they're going to react this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got some hate mail from that.
Really?
Some, not a lot. Nothing like the next bit. That got me... The most I never would have suspected.
More than midgets?
Way more.
Wow.
No comparison. Part of it, I should say, is this. When I got the half hour,
yeah,
the Comedy Central half hour, you shoot more than half hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need you to shoot a minimum
22.
Of 22, but they tell you to shoot 30.
So and then
they edit down to 22, and like, you know, they don't time that. Like, I think I might have taped like 35 or right. something. I don't know. And then they didn't use that bit in the half hour that they aired, but they used it to promote the new season of Comedy Central Presents.
Really?
Yeah, and they used it, I'm saying, the full bit online. So like, they took
cool.
It was the homepage of Huffington Post Comedy. So Huffington Post gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
And then it was on Comedy Central's homepage. It was on all the homepages. So like it was like
making people angry all
yeah,
over.
It was like we have a new season of Comedy Central Presents. And then I was episode one, I think. So they were like, here's a guy from the first episode. And they showed that, even though it's not in the special. Dude, what? The day that hit, like first my inbox just went like fucking bananas. Then the online comments, like on the Huffington Post comedy page, it was like, I want to say it was like thousands of comments.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like on that page, if not thousands, maybe hundreds and hundreds. And it was like, then it became a back and forth battle. It wasn't even directed to me. You realize that these things aren't really personal after a while. It was like bicycle enthusiasts, and then there was, you know, people that were not really defending me. They were defending the point of view. Because, I mean, I feel like the bit too, it's not as crazy as some of the people's reaction to it. I mean,
what, they're essentially, just like really into biking?
Here's the bit. The bit is basically, again, I remember what it came from. Yep. I was driving east on 6th Street heading towards downtown.
Yeah.
I was making a right off of 6th Street, and a guy on a bicycle who's coming behind, like, I'm in front of him.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a right. He sees that I'm going to make a right.
He passes you on your right-hand side?
And kicks my car because, like, I didn't, you know, him, and I was turning. But like, it's kind of like when you're walking across the street and you see you kind of go like you wave like
you see they don't see you.
They're yeah, you see
left.
That they
They're
don't
left
see
for
you.
Traffic,
right,
so don't fucking go.
And you're having to be the adult and go like,
I do have the right of way.
Yeah, but I'm gonna whatever.
I don't
want
to get hit by a car.
Exactly.
Yeah,
dude. So the bit is an extension of that, right? It just came from the fact that like, really, what you're saying is that. Some bike riders are aggressive and they're assholes. I mean, that's when you break it down, what it is.
But they take it meaning all.
Now, of course, and by the way, a huge number of...
I'm not that. Okay, then you're not that.
Then you're not that. But a huge number of cyclists completely would support me, like email.
Oh,
and they would be like, yeah, I know you're talking about that guy. Like, people would be like, I ride in the fucking this marathon and this race. Like, I know who you're talking about.
Right.
You know, is this the person who's like, we have the right of way, but then they roll through the stop sign. You're like, aren't you supposed to stop at that though? Because they're supposed to be, you're supposed to ride your bike with like motorist rules. Mm-hmm. Like, and anyways, it's just a fucking joke. And some people understood it was a joke. Some people, like, they just took it as, you are endorsing killing cyclists because I jokingly say that, like I jokingly gesture to hit them with your car. But like, I don't know. It's amazing to me when you don't take into account like context and like, yeah. Like it's in, first of all, it's in the arena of a performance of comedy. It's heightened.
A lot of bikes are 10 speed, just so you know. They're not all 3 speed. And you're like, okay, but right. I'm talking about a guy with a 10 speed bike.
Yeah. I mean, you know that I'm exaggerating right now, right?
Yeah.
So, but like it was funny to me that like I never saw it coming. I never saw.
Yeah. But Bob and Tom wouldn't let you do that on their shit.
They cut it off. Like Bob and Tom, they like you do bits, and like it was like right in that time frame where like it was a newer bit for me at the time. Yeah. I get into it and they're like, they hit like a button and they were like, everyone gestured to me and then we went to break and they were like, yeah, we had somebody basically do a something like that.
Make fun of bikers. Yeah.
And we got like a lawsuit and then like it was just crazy. So they're like, yeah, we don't even allow that to happen.
Fucking show.
I've noticed that you guys here in Minneapolis have some very, very aggressive bicycle riders. I didn't know that was a point of pride, but what's going on? Is it training grounds? Curry? Fuck them. That's what I'm getting to. I get it. Like, you know, like if you ride your bike, like, that's cool. That's healthy and green. Now shut the fuck up and get on the sidewalk. Yeah. Seriously, you should. Remember when you were a kid? You're a kid, you rode your bike around your neighborhood, like, bring, bring. I'm coming home, mommy. And then a car came by. What would you do? You would move. That's right. Yes. And you would move because it's a fucking car. Yes. And you understood that concept as a child. Now it's grown men, right? Adults. On bicycles, okay, in the middle of the, not like on the side, not like hugging the curb, middle of the street, doing a little bit of this, like a little, and it's followed by a lot of attitude, right? Like, hey, you don't fucking see me? I'm on my bike! And it's like, yeah, man, don't you see me in my car? The thing that'll rupture your spleen if I tap you with it? What is with the attitude? If I lose my temper, we're looking at involuntary manslaughter, all right? A little... Oops. I didn't mean to do it. Why are you riding a bike? This is the age of technology. This isn't Ho Chi Minh City in 1976. Get $100 a month together and lease a Honda. And if you can't do that, maybe you should move to Ho Chi Minh City.
Wow, a lot of fucking... Any death threats? No way.
People were, one guy I remember was like, he was like, I ride my bike, it was some guy in British Columbia. He was like, I ride my bike fucking further than you drive your car every day. And if you ever come up to British Columbia, I'll put my fist through your fucking mouth, like that kind of like super aggressive thing. And I happened to be doing Vancouver that week, like the comedy mix.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in British Columbia this week.
So there you go. Yeah, there's so a chance.
It's on Burrard Street. You should check it out. And then he wrote back, I'll bring a bottle of like some vodka or something.
Oh.
Like he was like my response like calmed him down.
Oh, like, oh, he's a human.
Yeah.
It's hard to be mad when you actually see humanistic behavior.
But yeah, I was like, come on, man. Yeah. You're so ridiculous right now.
My thing. That's my thing.
Yeah.
But if you say that to a bike rider, they'll all tell you the same thing. Riding a bike is like my thing, you know? It's like, it's my thing. Really? When did your imagination stop evolving? When you were four? Riding a bike is not your thing. It's not your thing if everybody can fucking do it and everybody loves riding their bike. It's not your thing. Like, people love to claim traveling. They'll be like, traveling. Traveling is really my thing. No, it's not. You don't meet somebody that likes to travel and go, you like to travel? Get the fuck out of here. I've never met anybody like you in my entire life, man. I think I'm going to shit my pants right now. What else are you into? Steaks and blowjobs? Because that'd be crazy. Traveling is not your thing. If it's your thing, it's got to be kind of odd, you know? A little peculiar. Like, hey, why are you grinding down rocks? I like to make my own sand. What? It's kind of my thing. That's your thing. Not like, my thing's eating brownies. No, fatty fat fat. You don't have any self-control. And you're shoveling sugar into your water buffalo carcass. That's not your thing. Make it different. Weird. I like it when people pee on my feet. All right, that's your fucking thing. Have a thing.
I saw you do this in Denver, too, I think. Will we go to the Comedy Works together? We did,
I think,
right?
We did,
maybe,
yeah.
The new one? Maybe that's the one we did.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I saw you do it. I feel like I remember you doing it in Denver.
Yeah, it was basically, it's a continuation of the bike bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's about when people say, it's my thing, but they say it about, like,
whatever.
But they say it about, like, things that we all enjoy. Like, it came from, like, when I talk to people who are like, traveling's really my thing, and I'm like, yeah, everybody likes to fucking travel.
Yeah.
So
did you, was it, why did you separate the bits on the tracks?
I don't know. I can't remember why. I think because I
had this thought that some of my stuff would get played on the radio, and so I should keep my bits shorter.
I think
so.
That's
if I
accurate.
Had like a long one, then I'm like, I think I can get away with splitting this up into three bits.
I think that's accurate.
Right.
I think that. Do you see? You have two albums that can play right now on radio, right?
I have one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. These get played way more.
The short ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't play a 13-minute long bit.
Yeah, I mean, I have on the White Girls one, I have like 7-minute bits and 8-minute bits.
Yeah.
That I like more.
And don't get played as much?
Not even close.
Wow.
Not even close. Yeah, because all of these are like
White Girls with Cornrows, also, yeah, at iTunes right now.
That's right. Please get White Girls with Cornrows, which was recorded in Denver at Comedy Works.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's why I did Passive Aggressive.
Yeah.
The old one.
You did Passive Aggressive downtown, though.
Yeah, downtown.
I like that one more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one's badass.
It's one of the best clubs in the world.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Okay. Yeah, my thing.
Well, yeah, I get it. You don't have to say if I'm crazy about everyone.
Yeah, no. You know, I was looking at the next one, Too Much Vegas.
Yeah.
Which was just...
I am happy to be just in a city that functions normally and shit right now. I spent the last 2 weeks in Las Vegas, and that... No. That is a terrible idea. You need, at maximum, 72 hours in Vegas. And after that... You need to get your shit, and you need to get the fuck out. Right? Two weeks in Vegas is basically like somebody saying, hey, do you want to have pizza and cake and beer and drugs all day, every day, for 2 weeks? And my answer was, fuck yes, I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. But then on the third day, I was like, I think I'm going to throw up. I think I'm going to throw up now. The only cool thing were the hookers. And I did this every day to hookers, and you can do this too. Not just you, everybody. Next time you see a hooker, go up to her and be like, hey, $50. And she'll be like, more like $500. Be like, all right, sounds good to me. Then you go back to the hotel, and she'll be like, all right, let's see the money. And then you say, no, you pay me. Yeah, I'm a hooker. Yeah, I was trying to offer you a deal. But then you insisted on paying more. So, cough it up. You want a party? Yeah. She won't laugh at all. But it's funny.
I agree 100% with that.
That you do, right?
That was always the rule.
This was
2 days in Vegas. No three, no four.
More. Fuck. And people don't know, you might not know, that when you get booked to do stand-up in Vegas, sometimes you get booked for 7 days.
Yeah, the Riviera was a full week.
Yes.
And you ended on Sunday, too. So you keep going up, 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 and then drop down.
I wrote this joke at the Riviera.
At the Ritz. That's what it was.
Yes. So I remember I wrote it like in my head, right? Like, start to put together the joke. Like, I was just like...
In the car or whatever.
Yeah, and I remember going through it on the escalator on the way up to the room, to the club, because the club is like second or third floor, whatever, through the escalator. Anyways, so I did it. My favorite thing, it was so hysterical to me, was, people like accuse you of like stealing, they'll be like, that's somebody else's bit.
Oh, right.
The thing I got for this one...
yeah.
Was that I stole it from Rob Schneider's movie where he's a gigolo. What's it called? It's like Deuce Bigelow.
Deuce Bigelow, yeah.
So, and I was like, what? And they're
like... I can guarantee you I didn't see that.
And I was like, no, I didn't. They're like, because the whole hook, like the joke is a misdirection joke. Like the first part of it is like Vegas is too crazy.
Yeah.
And then the second part of the bit is like, I have a fun way of getting a hooker.
Oh, right. That's right.
And so the whole thing is like, you tell, I haven't said it in so long, I can't, but you
the
just play it.
Almost seems separate too.
Yeah. You could definitely play it separately. But the whole joke is like, you tell her like,
they just heard it.
Okay. Right. So when you go, okay. So like that whole thing, I guess that's one of the scenes, like that kind of thing is that he's the hooker. So he picks up a hooker. So it's like the same, idea, I guess.
As what?
As my joke. So they're like, that's where you stole it from. I'm like, wow, man. And then I started to say, I would email people back if I got an email like that. Like, I got a few, like you took that from Rob Schneider. I would just be like, I get all my comedy ideas from Rob Schneider.
Yeah, there's no
from Rob Schneider movies.
Somebody wrote recently, like, oh, South Park stole that idea from you for some joke. And I was like, I guarantee you they didn't.
Yeah.
In fact, I would almost probably say they had it first, and maybe I was influenced by them if something is similar.
Somebody just emailed me that they saw one of my jokes somewhere, and that John Mulaney stole one of them, and that Joe Rogan stole the other one.
Oh, nice.
I was like, wow, man.
Good company.
Yeah, good company.
Very good company.
I don't even entertain, I don't even look up what they're talking about.
You just go like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, okay, man.
Yeah, I get worried sometimes when I hear, I'm like, oh, no. And I look it up, I'm like, nothing I can do. Or, it's different.
It's so preposterous.
Yeah. Just somewhat similar.
Yeah.
If you do frequent Las Vegas, or if you haven't gone and you're going to go, you know what you should do? Get off the Strip. That's where everybody goes. Go downtown. Yeah! Yes. Fremont Street. Where the ugly people go to lose. You know what I mean? That's the real shit. I was hanging outside of Binion's. Old school casino. Uh-huh. And this homeless guy started peeing on my leg. Now, in all fairness to him, I think I was standing where he normally pees. So, I let him finish, and then he was like, hey, do you have any spare change? And I was like, you just peed on me. Let's call it even. Please do not think that I hate homeless people. I don't. If you're homeless, and you're here right now, you need to get your priorities straight. You shouldn't be at a show. It's not spending money wisely. I think it's fair to say that I don't like the way some homeless people approach you. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of them have, like, business proposals and shit for you. Like, every time you walk by. Can I talk to you for a second? Can I talk to you for a second, man? And you're like, you were just talking to yourself. Why don't you do that? Right? And then I think we all have the thought, like, I can get out of this if I don't make eye contact. I can totally get out of this if I don't look him in the eyes. Oh my God, where all his teeth go? Oh shit, I made eye contact. And then you're locked in for the sales pitch. Like he's a financial advisor at Goldman Sachs. Except it's usually something cool like, hey, I'm... I rode my scooter here from Dallas. But then, if you get on the train with a hot dog, I asked Joe, he used to write for the New York Times. And he said, you can't make a left. But then, if you see a fire, you put strawberries in your fire, and the fire goes, then you gotta put on your hat. So, can I have a dollar? No. Not after that weird shit you just did. No. If you want a dollar, just ask me directly. Sir, do you have a dollar? Or do something amusing. Do a flip. Everybody likes flips. And if you fall while you're flipping, $2. I get something, you get something.
Who was this homeless guy? What's the real story for that homeless guy?
I'll tell you, this is kind of funny. That's one of the first bits I ever wrote.
Really?
Period. Yeah.
Really?
I did that joke, like, you know, you tweak and get it better.
Yeah.
But I did the skeleton version of that joke first month or two doing stand-up.
Cool, really? And then, yeah. That's a thing with people's first album. It's just like, you got a lot of years in here.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So you've been working on that shit for a while.
Yeah.
And that used to be, that was my... You know when you go like, I'll never write a better joke?
Yeah, that was the one.
That was my signature. Like when I was, because I started doing stand-up in LA.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I would get booked on like little rooms and bringer shows. Like that's how I did stand-up.
Really? I thought you were an Arizona guy.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
So I would just go do these shows. And like that was like the closer. I was like, you know, you got through your whatever, 5-7 minutes. And I'd be like,
now it's time for you guys to remember me.
You guys ready for this? Fucking buckle up. It was homeless guy time.
Wow. That's cool to know.
Yeah. And like, I remember like the big, you know, the big punchline, like the big, like creative thing to say in that pic was like telling the homeless guy to do a flip. Right. I mean, I'd been approached by fucking 100 homeless guys. So this is like all a response kind of to that. But, I remember that was the first time where I got like, you know, saying that, getting to that joke got like such a great, like a reaction that I was like, holy shit. Like
you must have been confident going into it.
I was confident going into it, but then I go like, oh, this is a real constructed joke. Like, you know what I mean? And then I definitely thought there was like that period. I might've been like a year or two.
You don't think you'll ever write something better?
Oh, you're like, nothing will ever top this. This is the funniest thing I've ever
done. I get sad when I do that. When I realize like, oh, this is the best I'll be. Fuck.
Of course.
Damn, what am I going to do for the next 20 years?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, and I think I felt like that about...
Lots of bits, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is you're like, it'll never fucking top this. You think that, and you're like...
It's a cool thing Louis told me about writing a new hour. He was like, after I did it once, and I actually threw away everything I've done, and I wrote the new hour, the next time was okay. That first couple months when I'm like, I don't have any material. It was like, I know where this is going to lead to.
It's going to get...
lead to a new hour. So it's okay.
The more you do it, I mean, you know.
The more you trust yourself.
You trust yourself, yeah. You realize that like you know now that like you did that Revenge for the Holocaust, you did Passive Aggressive. Like when you finish that Passive Aggressive and you realize it's the second time you've done it, like you know that you know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like you know how to construct things.
I still get worried, though.
Of course. Yeah.
That's when my agent's like, you ready for another? I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be as good as that again, man.
Yeah, you will.
I guess so.
You will. Yeah.
So you didn't see a guy pissing on your leg. Did you see him pissing anywhere else? Or you just see him pissing, and then were you like,
I've seen guys piss and shit in public, but this wasn't like.
So it was an amalgamation of like all your homeless people?
Yeah, it's all my, it's like a, all of them together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's definitely that.
Wow, cool.
You know, when you travel a lot like I do, you meet so many people. And what always really leaves an impact with me is how profoundly stupid so many people are. You know, that you meet. You're like, wow, I didn't know there was somebody this fucking stupid in the whole world. And I think that there are three types of stupid. Okay? I've broken it down. There are stupid-looking people that do stupid things, and then people that speak stupidly. Now, the first group, the stupid-looking people, you can't get mad at them. It's not their fault. It's probably genetic, and you need them on days when you feel bad about yourself, right? So, you see a stupid-looking guy, you go, this guy's fucking stupid, and you feel good. Right? Then people doing stupid shit, you shouldn't get mad about either, because a lot of times stupid shit is fun shit, you know? Yeah, like you drive 160 through a school zone, or, you know, you set a public park on fire, whatever. It's stupid, but it's fun. So that leaves people that speak stupidly, and holy shit, do we have a lot of those. Now, I'll admit, I'm not a know-it-all. I haven't read all the classics or anything, but what I can do is put together a fourth-grade level coherent English sentence, okay? I meet people all the time. They don't know how to conjugate simple words. They don't know if it's past tense or present tense. That shit just reeks of jean shorts and dirt driveways, don't you think? Like, I was standing at the mall the other day, and this guy, he's telling his buddy a story, right? And stupid people, I don't know if you know this, they like to project a lot. So everybody hears the stupid shit that they have to say, you know? So naturally, I have a front row seat from like 60 yards away, all right? So this guy, he's telling his buddy this story. He's like, yeah, yeah. So I seen him come around the corner. So I says to him, I says, hey, ain't you seen it's a door? And then he say, I ain't think no one's home. So I says to him, I says, hey, it's a door. Next time you better knock. Or I'll choke your ass out. Because I don't take no shit. Yeah, I guess you don't take no reading either. What the fuck, man? Like, I says to him, I seen him, it's a door. That's your fucking sentence? Are you serious? If that's the best you can do, I don't think you should be allowed to speak, all right? I think you should just walk around with pictures of shit you want to say. And you wouldn't need that many because you're fucking stupid. You could have three and you could just grunt and hold them up for people. Man, man, man. Sure, man, someone will fight you and start throwing shit. Well, you can't eat that because that's alive. Fuck it. Squeeze her tits. Have some fun. Do your thing. You seem like a cool guy.
The three types one, that one's pretty... I was surprised that like... that was one of the first bits I ever did that, like, I went to, like, a club.
Yeah.
I mean, after this had been out for a while, and, like, somebody was like, are you going to do that bit? The three types of stupid?
Yeah. Oh, they were requesting it?
They were requesting it, yeah.
Oh.
Now, that came from a real conversation, too. That was when I say that I overheard the guy speaking to the other guy, And he was like, I seen
all
him.
Those terrible, yeah.
Yeah, I seen him come around the corner, and I was like, I'll choke his ass out. You know, like that whole thing?
Yeah.
That's a real conversation.
All those, I seen him, so I says.
That's real.
Really? I was wondering about the sentence itself. Like, would you just come up with, because I was listening to it as you did it, I'm like, there's so much wrong with each of these.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's so crazy.
Not I said, it was I says to him.
I says to him,
and yeah. then he repeats, I says.
Yeah. It's yeah. it's so fucking retarded. And I heard it, this is when I was living in
the Hollywood. Only part that he gets grammatically correct is I'll choke him out.
Yeah, I'll choke his ass just out. Yeah.
Violence is the right. only part that he
knows how to say yeah. that. That was in I was when I lived in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I didn't have internet sometime. Like when one of the years, whatever, I would go to internet cafe.
Yeah.
Man, there's and people don't know who don't live out here how fucked up Hollywood is. Like what a fucking shit pit, like the yeah. fucking what like real Hollywood is. It is a disaster.
It's grody.
Yeah, and then they always picture it to be like this. Like, oh, you live in Hollywood. Like, I remember moving out here.
Failed actors have gone crazy. Oh, and semi homeless now.
It's
with headshots.
I told a girl I lived in Hollywood, and she was like, "You live in Hollywood? That's so awesome." I'm like, but I didn't. I bit my tongue. I was like, "Yeah, it is fucking awesome."
In the movies, they always show like montage scenes of like, man's Chinese theater. We're yeah. taking a drive, and you're like, "No, no, there's homeless people everywhere."
Yeah, and Hollywood Hills, by the way, is not Hollywood.
No,
that's a totally
yeah.
different thing.
Yeah.
So there was internet cafe, and you know the fucking dregs, the fucking mouth breathers. Really, they would come
who
in there.
Doesn't have internet. Yeah.
And, yeah, and this guy, he had a bandana. I remember it was a white dude. He had a bandana. He had a white open shirt. With a wife beater underneath it.
Yeah.
And he was sitting next to somebody using the internet. So it was like, he was sitting next
chilling
to
him. With him?
Yeah, like fucking, I says to him, I said, motherfucker, I'll choke your ass. Like he was, and I was sitting next to this guy like, Jesus Christ.
Not to mention your friend's on the internet. Let
yeah,
him fucking
let
play.
Him finish his Hotmail fucking.
He charged by the minute.
Yeah, so that
oh,
dude.
Oh, really? What did he look like? That had to be white.
He was, yeah, he was like, he was blonde. Some blonde, like a blonde goatee, kept short, probably like very short, like 5'5", very like slender build, but like just talking mad shit.
Just
you know?
Degenerate.
Yeah, like 140, thin, probably like a meth head. I'll fucking kill anybody, you know? Like shit, man.
All right, calm
you
down.
Can't fuck with me. Yeah, so he reminded me of so much of like guys that I knew in like North Carolina. The small guy with the big, you know, the big fucking bark.
God, when you hear people like that, though, you are like, you're really stupid or dumb. What's
he was profoundly
stupid. Three types
stupid.
Of stupid?
Yeah, three types. Of, it was...
Three types yeah. of idiot? No.
No, three types of stupid. Yeah. Looking, what's the other fucking thing?
Looking stupid, sounding stupid. No, acting stupid.
Yeah.
That's fun, because
you're yeah. like... Yeah, stories. Yeah, and then speaking stupidly. Yeah. And then they used that. They asked me... I did a Comedy Central show called Mashup that TJ Miller hosted and Jordan Vaught Roberts directed. And so they would request like bits you've done before.
Yeah.
And then we reenacted that bit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. So we did that one and one from White Girls for Mashup. And you can see those online if you Google Mashup Comedy Central and my name.
It'll come up.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, your new album is out right now on
iTunes. Yes. Completely Normal.
Tom Segura, Completely Normal. Look it up. Buy it on iTunes. Support an artist.
You do seem like a cool guy. What's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron? You have any tattoos?
No.
You don't? Neither do I. We should be besties. Yeah. Do your friends ever tell you to get a tattoo? I get it all the time. Tom, you should get a tattoo. You should get a tattoo. And I'm like, I fucking know. But first, I need a really shitty story to go along with it. Because everybody with a tattoo has a boring fucking tale about why and when it happened. It's always like, I just graduated from high school, so I'm going to get a sailboat on my beanbag. And you're like, all right. Really? Sometimes it's all right, you know? Sometimes it's like, my uncle died, here's a butterfly. And you're like, I fucking got it. But for every one of those stories, there's like 1,000, well, we were in Myrtle Beach, and I didn't think Todd could eat that many waffles. So I got the Chinese symbol of loyalty. What? I don't know. We were drunk. Fuck it. Some are cool. Sometimes people get them for dumb reasons, okay? Like my cousin, she volunteered at this orphanage in South America. That's nice. And she got back and she was like, I never want to forget those kids. And I was like, cool. What are you going to do? Start writing letters? No. I'm going to get a tattoo of a leaf from their village right here. Okay, so you want to honor the children of Bolivia by letting every guy with a thumb ring drop a hot load of gag sauce on the monument of their hope. Why don't you get a couple of clit rings so you don't forget your weekend in Machu Picchu? That shit is lame. Unless you get a tattoo on your face. Now that is a good look. I like a tattoo on the face. Tattoo on the face says, hey, why tap dance when we can tango? Doesn't it? You tattoo your face, you're basically saying, hey world, I'm going to go ahead and exchange any and all possibilities of normal human interaction for the gift of instilling paralyzing fear in anyone that looks in my direction. Now, that might sound like a piss-poor trade-off to you, but how about I stab you in the throat, because I don't really give a shit, because I'm fucking crazy, and that's why I have a crying clown tattooed on my face.
All right, the tattoos, face tattoos. Yeah, that was all cool, right? Yeah. You're all right. When you see somebody with a face, you're like, Jesus, man.
Yeah, that's...
That one I remember seeing in Denver, too, where it was like... That joke of mortgaging normal interaction with paralyzing fear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you must see that all the time. But like, I don't want any trouble, sir.
I did that. I remember I wrote that in Vegas, too.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I remember, but I remember putting it together. And then... There's like a very specific way of saying that thing, like you're talking about, like the cadence, and like I remember, you know those those bridges,
paralyzing fear.
Yes, yeah,
It really hits hard. What
those
bridges?
Those like those overpasses.
Oh yeah, over the MGM to the next to the
top. To the next thing. So I remember like I was walking over that like practicing saying it.
Oh,
because I was gonna try it like in there for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, and wow, again,
that was
it's
the
a
first
super,
time you tried it.
The first time I tried it was in Vegas. Wow. And I remember, I really liked it. It's a natural, like, it's another thing. It's like that judging thing. It's like, it's an immediate thing, I think, if I see someone with a tape. Like, I think, like most of us, you see someone with a facial, you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This guy's out of his fucking mind.
It's funny, though, how you took that thing of, like, instead of just making fun of the guy with the ponytail, you sort of talked about, in general, what it's like to judge people.
Yeah.
While you're also talking about the guy with the ponytail.
Right.
But you make an overall point about life in general, which I kind of like.
Yeah. I mean, I ended up like switching that, or I added something to like where I could get into it differently. Like if I said, here's something you hear people say to you all the time. They'll say to you like, you can tell me anything you want because I will never, ever judge you. Like when they tell you that, and I'm like,
you can judge me, just don't take it out on me. Of course you're going to judge me.
Right. But I would always say, well, like, that person is lying to your face. And they should, because you should. Like, so that's how I would get into it. You know, I could figure out a new way to get into it if I didn't want to attach it to another bit.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, that bit. I always like doing that. Like, you know those bits you like doing?
Sure.
I always
liked one of them?
The tattoo one, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit is not normal, right? And I know whenever anybody utters that phrase, every amateur philosopher pops up with, well, what is normal? Is there even such thing as normal? Yes, there is. See the way I'm talking to you guys right now with my dick in my pants? That is normal. It'd be weird if I had it out, right? The only people, by the way, that ask the question, what is normal, are people that are trying to justify whatever abnormal shit they're into, okay? And it's usually guys. I feel bad for women, because guys, we're fucking pigs, you know. We'll be like, hey, I got this glass table over at my house. I'm going to lay underneath it. Pretend I'm not there. Why don't you fill up on prunes and chimichanga and wash it down with a quadruple espresso? When you're good and ready, squat over it and take me to Browntown. I like to watch. Yeah. I know. I was there. And then you'll be like, I don't fucking think so. That's not normal. Well, what is normal? Now, if you're a man, it can happen to you too. Like, if you're with a woman that's way better looking than you, she has emotional problems. Okay? Like, if you find yourself saying, man, I can't believe I'm fucking this chick. Yeah, neither can she. She's fucking crazy, right? If she's that hot, you're playing blackjack with split twos. It's not going to end well. And you'll find out when you get into bed with her and you'll be like, oh, this is so hot. And she'll be like, you know what really turns me on? And you'll be like, what? When I spank your ass? No, why don't you elbow my teeth out? What? I don't want to fucking do that. That's not normal. What is normal? Okay. You're pretty.
What was not normal about?
That's one where I could have made it.
Part of that other one.
I could have, yeah, because it's like the second half of Tattoos.
Yeah.
And it's like more breaking down, you know, like, language, like people, when people say, you know, that's not like, you know, when something's normal or not normal, and it's like, no, there is such a thing as normal. Yeah,
but definitely such a thing as abnormal.
Yeah.
I don't know what normal is, but I know what's not.
Yeah, and then I would just give, like, I mean, they just heard it, right? So I don't even remember, like, that's literally what I don't remember the details of. I just remember,
oh, really?
I don't remember the exact jokes. I just remember that, like. I gave ridiculous examples of, like, something that's not normal.
Yeah, I didn't write any notes down for that one, so yeah. I forgot what the details were.
I remember this now. I remember there's a joke in there about, like, somebody shitting on a glass table. Uh-huh. Like, and how that's, like, not normal. I think that's the joke.
Oh, yeah.
And I did do it in Atlantic City as I was middling for a guy. Some guy who, like, basically never does stand up. He was just like, he knew the owner. He just goes there to play poker. Yeah. And he was like an 80s comic. And I remember we were doing the early show, like, on Saturday or something. And he was smoking a cigarette in the green room. And he's like, see how it looks out there? I go, yeah, man, they're old. Like, that's a really old crowd. And he was like, yeah, what's that tell you? And I go, I don't know. He goes, maybe not. Maybe skip the shitting on the glass table bit for this show. He took a drag off his cigarette, and I laughed so hard, like, at him, like, right then. And then he was amused that I was laughing.
He wasn't doing it as a joke. He was doing it serious.
He was kind of serious with it, and I was like, I thought it was so funny.
It's funny when comics try to be serious, but they can't even help it sometimes. They just have to say these serious things in a funny way.
In a funny way, yeah.
Just who they are.
Is that your girlfriend, Jason? Huh? Is it Eric? What was your name? Aaron? I don't fucking know. Let's start over. Aaron. Is that your girlfriend?
No.
She's very cute. How do you know her? First date. Yes. Nice. He didn't even know it was a date. That means pretty soon you guys are going to be watching porn together. Very exciting. Do you watch porn regularly? No? Do you, sweetheart? You do. Yes. See, don't try to be cool, man. Just fucking fess up. What are you into? What kind of stuff do you like? I have some good advice for when you get together, when you're watching it together. Today's shit is way too aggressive, okay? You know where it's at? 80s porn, all right? Seriously, go over to their house, all right? Pull out a VHS. Do you know what that is? They're rectangular. '80s porn was awesome, wasn't it? Fun and exciting and consensual. The best thing about '80s porn is it had the best plot lines. It was always like, I've lost all my pants. What am I going to do with this thing? I don't fucking know. And then some girl would be like, you can keep it in here for a week. And everybody smiled. Ah, man. It was a good time. Today's shit is like, all it's like and the fucking spitting. And the titty slapping, that shit's not fucking cool, man. I don't like that. You like having your titty slapped like that? No. You like a, like that. Yeah. Or like if you're in the dog, like a, like that. But not like that. Stop slapping titties. That's where mama's milk comes from.
'80s porn, by the way, was, I mean, that's where most people got into porn.
Yeah.
That's most people, that's their first experience.
For our age, for sure, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's the era of that, yeah.
You did this off crowd work.
Yeah. But it was like, it was one of those, like, I didn't know every line of like what I was going to say, because it was like crowd work that worked its way into...
To the bit,
yeah.
Yeah. Did you always do it like that?
No. Like, sometimes it would just, it was... the bit, but then this time it happened to work out with the crowd.
Do you have some bits where you're like, I'm always going to do this as like crowd work to see what they tell me about it or whatever, and then just do it?
There were some like that, but then like sometimes you
can't do them at theaters.
You can't do them at theaters, and then sometimes like you get like zero from the audience, like on, like, you know, on certain nights, certain shows, and you're like, you're fucking making this not fun because you're not participating. Like, you know, like you go like, oh, this is a crowd work kind of thing, and you ask a question, and they're just like, huh?
You know, oh, right.
Could you respond at all?
There's something.
Yeah, and they're like,
so I need you here.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to do those bits when like the crowd is like participating, you know?
Yeah.
Like when, and like, you know, in a good, like good natured. But that came out of, that was genuine. That was like, that came out of like having conversations about how aggressive some porn was. I was God, like, really Jesus is. Christ. Like, I think I was given some DVDs and I brought them home. I did a show where there was like a porn sponsor kind of thing. And we were watching some of them, like Christina and I, we were like, Jesus, man, like her head's in the toilet. And like he's just fucking skull fuck. Like, it was so aggressive. Yeah. And then it, you know, it was, you know, the bits like how, you know, it was whatever like that back then. I got emails from, like 80s porn stars and stuff.
Saying what? I heard it. It's funny.
Yeah, they were like, oh, and you were so right. And we had so much fun. And then I would like be like, well, tell me more. Like, what was it? They're like, oh, they said back then that, you know, it was like, you were literally like a group. Like, it was like you and your friends. And, you know, you wouldn't have permits to shoot places. Like, you all knew each other and, you know, you were getting paid minimal. It was like your young rebellious phase. Wow. So it wasn't your career. It was like,
let's do this.
Yeah, you're 20 and you're like, hey, do you want to have sex on camera? And we would just go. And it was like what I was describing in the bit. The reason they wrote was because they're like, that's the thing. We were having a good time and we were having just fun, just having sex.
Yeah. Who's their house, their horse? What does that mean?
What?
I wrote down who's, and then in quotation marks, their horse or their house.
I don't know.
Fuck. Oh, well. I want to know.
I don't remember a lot of the details of some of these jokes, like the actual,
like how you
lines.
Said the dog. Let's say you're in the dog instead of doggy style.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I like the way you put that. The
in
dog.
The dog.
Yeah. You reach out.
I like doing that with, and that's the fun thing in stand-up is that you can just, come up with like
funny ways to say things.
You just express, and then like you get it, and you go like, oh, I'm gonna just refer to it like that all the time now.
Yeah,
and you basically have made up a reference.
You know? People would then call it the dog from then on.
Sure,
even though it's never really been called that.
Right.
And by the way, I'll give you a general red flag for society, because I run into this shit sometimes. If you meet a grown-up, an adult, somebody who's over, I don't know, 11, and they have problems with cursing, walk away, all right? That is not a normal individual at all. Like, I can almost excuse it from a woman who's like, oh my gosh, I don't, that kind of language is, it's a little, it's like, all right, I'm sure you're a load of fun in the sack. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. But if you meet a grown man who's like, whoa, language, clean it up. That guy is cutting up kittens in his basement, all right? And he's turning their fur into earmuffs. It's a fucking psycho, all right? Language, hey, fucking. Couldn't you say that another way? Are you out of your fucking mind right now? Speaking of another one, by the way, I find this incredibly insensitive of people, and that is the what the fuck? What the fuck? What? What are you cackling about? What? Cat killer. Really? Why don't you find the dolphin that's in the room? Because I heard it earlier. Where the fuck did that thing go? All right, lady. Jesus. That's why they never take you out. You always act out like this. Is that your mother? It is? Is it really? Your son applauded you. He was like, you're right. He is. She is an asshole. Fuck yeah.
I've seen that.
All right, now you're fucking acting out, too. You know what? Fine. I'm just going to fucking talk about midgets and get out of here. You love midgets? You've probably never met one.
Okay, so we're down to our last three. That was okay. Cursing is bad. Really interrupted. Yeah. Who was the inspiration for that?
That was not a bit, really. I mean, cursing is bad came from the fact, like, I had met a number of people who told me, like, not to curse.
Yeah.
And they were always, I really have a thing about like phony people.
Yeah.
And I always felt like it came from such a phony place. Like,
don't curse, but you do curse. So why are you saying that? Yeah.
It's such a self-righteous position to take when I don't trust adults, particularly adult males who like, yeah, I don't like that kind of language. My natural reaction to that is like, are you fucking serious right now? Right. Like, you're a grown man, and one of your pet peeves is foul language. Like, are we really having this conversation? So, like, I've heard, you know, a number of people say it to me, and like, you know, why do you have to talk like what are you talking about? Like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, do we live in the same world right now?
Yeah, but you do kind of shit on horrible language. You got to piss? Oh. You do kind of shit on horrible language in that bit. In like when people are sounding too crude, right? Or no?
I'm trying to remember.
Did you hear somebody?
I think like my whole thing is that like I thought in that bit I basically don't trust someone like that. Like the guy who says that is like
really
cutting up kittens.
I thought you were talking
basement.
More about like saying when people just go off like motherfucker off fucking
no
that fucking shit fuck and you're like easy man relax.
Do I say that in that?
I feel like it's like that. You want to play it? You want to listen to it?
Yeah, I feel like that's not what.
Where'd
I
you get interrupted? What I wanted to know if there was more to
rudely
it.
Rudely interrupted just came from the fact that
rudely interrupted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just left it in there. So let's see.
And by the way, I'll give you a general red flag for society, because I run into this shit sometimes. If you meet a grown-up, an adult, somebody who's over, I don't know, 11, and they have problems with cursing,
oh, problems
walk away,
with cursing.
All right? Yeah. That is not a normal individual at all. Like, I can almost excuse it from a woman who's like, oh my gosh, I don't, the kind of language is, it's a little, it's like, all right, I'm sure you're a load of fun in the sack. I'm going to go talk to somebody else. But if you meet a grown man who's like, whoa, language, clean it up. That guy is cutting up kittens in his basement, right? And he's turning their fur into earmuffs.
I feel like
I misinterpreted that completely.
No, you were
pretty high. I didn't realize who the characters were and who wasn't.
Right.
When you said problem with language, I thought you meant the problem was they curse so much.
Oh no, okay, I got it. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I didn't realize too that somebody pointed out to me recently that how much I do character, like I said this and they said that, but I don't say I said this.
Delineate
and,
clearly.
Yeah, I just go like, but I just go back and forth.
He told me what? Yeah. Are you serious? Wait, which one's you? Which one's you in this? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are hard. It's tough to think like that sometimes. I can feel myself on stage sometimes going, I don't think you know who
who's
I'm being
who,
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I don't know what your guys' general experience is with midgets. But for me, all right, for me, they're always in a bad mood. All right? I don't know what it is, but every time I meet one, they're all, which I find kind of bizarre, because they walk like there's a really happy song playing in their head, you know? So when I see them, I'm like, oh, maybe he'll juggle. He won't. He's not going to do anything cool. So I go to do this show in Phoenix, right? And everybody likes a good midget joke, right? Wrong. Midgets do not like good midget jokes. So after the show, I go to the bar, like the bar here, I'm talking to the bartender, and the midget comes up behind me, or I think it's a midget, because I feel like here, right? So I'm like, great, there's a midget behind me, and he's upset. So I figure I'll bust his balls, you know? I'll make a joke, and that'll break the ice, and then we'll be cool. So as a joke, I go like this to him, right? I go like... He doesn't find that shit funny at all, right? So he goes, I know you can fucking see me. I know you can fucking see me right now. So I'm like, great. Like, the guy's a total dick. So then I turn around and I go, shouldn't you be making cookies? Right? I know. So now we have a scene, right? There's basically 200 people watching me get yelled at by a baby. I don't know how to handle the situation. I know that proportionately, I'm a giant. So I can end this shit like this. But I don't. I let him speak. Now, when he starts speaking, I guess it's midget code. I'm not familiar with it, because all I heard was like... I think he was calling other midgets in the area or something, okay? So, I was like, I don't know what you're saying, dude. And he goes, hack, bah, bah. And I'm like, what is it? Spit it out. And he goes, you know, you shouldn't say midget. You shouldn't say midget. You should say little people. You shouldn't say midget. And I'm like, why not? And he goes, because saying midget is like saying nigger. And I was like, whoa. First of all, we're both white. And if somebody hears you, I'm not protecting you. Secondly, it's not the same thing because our ancestors didn't own midgets, all right? Not unless they won some crazy high-stakes poker game that was like, I'm going all in, plus the court jesters. And you were like, pair of kings, I'm fucked. Now, I wish they did. I wish my parents were like, Tom, your great-great-grandfather he owned like 40 midgets. Because I would be like, get the fuck out of here. Do we still get them? And if we did, I would take my midgets and I would put little bowls on their heads. And I would fill them with different types of dip and salsa. And I would have them walk around so I could scoop out whatever I felt like eating. Hey, want some hummus? Get the fuck over here. See, the black guy fucking loved that shit.
Okay, down to our last two bits.
Okay.
How much more was there to talk cursing and stuff?
Very little left, and then the person interrupted. Like, I don't remember how much longer I would have gone with it, like how much more material was in there.
Yeah.
But then it just, whatever was happening, it was interrupted. And I don't, and like, this wasn't like one of my
signature bits.
I think it was really just me like riffing almost, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It wasn't like.
It's cool that it really was just one set.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just one set.
I mean, almost completely. Okay. The midges thing.
Yeah.
That was great.
Thanks.
Where were you when that first thing happened? Seattle? Is that what you said?
I remember thinking of it. I had heard the comparison. Like somebody said, how you like you shouldn't say it.
With midgets?
Not with a midget there. But saying,
but the comparison from midget to,
yes.
to nigger. It's yeah, such yeah. an electric word.
Yeah, it's so electric. And I was like, that is preposterous. Like, I remember that was my reaction. So it was like, you know, trying to create the joke. I do remember that one of the first time, I think it was the first weekend that I did it in front of a sold out crowd. Actually, also at Denver, I was featuring for Russell Peters.
Okay.
I got to there's like the pin drop line in that bit, which is when I drop fucking N-bomb,
the
right?
word. Yeah.
Yeah. It's when I, yeah, so, it's like, and then what I ended up getting to, like I ended up figuring out a joke that relieved all that tension.
Yeah.
But at first I didn't. So,
irresponsible.
Man. So I'm like, it's sold out, like completely packed.
Yeah.
Russell Peters is
nice
coming
Russell
up
Peters
next.
Crowds too, yeah.
Yeah. And I go, you know, and the manager was like, you know, you shouldn't say that because saying midget is like saying nigger. And like everybody goes like, whoa. And I was like,
please
really?
Welcome Russell Peters.
No. I was like, no, like it's not the same. I mean,
I just no joke.
And I didn't have a joke. Yeah. Yeah, I just was like, I go, that's ridiculous comparison to make.
Like not enough of a release.
No release. And then it was just uncomfortable because they're like, you just dropped fucking N-bomb on us and now you're just standing there. And then I was stammering, like trying to figure it out. And I remember being there after, I remember people leaving the show.
Yeah.
And being like, look at me.
Not looking. Oh.
Yeah, like either ignoring me or being like.
Pity for you.
Like, yeah, a lot of pity. And I was like,
damn. Don't quit your day job. Too late. I already did that.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
About a year ago, so yeah. I'm stuck in this.
And that's what you find is like, that's one of the times where I was like, you know, I can just abandon this.
Mm-hmm.
Or like.
See it through.
Yeah, and it's like, it was really hard to do again.
Yeah.
Because you go like, it ate such a fucking bag of dicks.
In front of so many people.
Yeah, in front of so many people. And then you try, and then. Yeah, the line, I figured out a joke that completely.
We didn't own midgets.
Yeah. Or like, but the one that saves it is like, whoa, first of all, we're both white. And if somebody hears you, I'm not protecting you.
That was a funny line.
That's the line that lets, that's the line that gets them
back
to go.
They're
going to
beat you up on their own.
Right.
I'm not getting involved in it. Right, you're right. The one who's dropping N-bombs.
Exactly. Yeah, it's you who said it. Yeah. So, and then.
Oh, you also paint that character who's attacking your lack of. Empathy for another human.
Yes.
So he's sort of in the right in some way where it's like, you're being mean, you're misusing you're painting him as like a weirdo or a negative.
Yeah. I'm painting him as being too sensitive and hyper aggressive.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's completely made up.
No, you never had a midget. You even said like, I was in Seattle.
Oh yeah.
Did you have
a
place in mind where you thought some guy was going to come talk to you?
No.
I'll even have that sometimes. Well, I'll really imagine Tripoli finding me in the bathroom.
Oh, know, really?
My feet are asleep. So I just keep imagining him.
Yeah, yeah, that helps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, if you tell me, like, if I do that bit I got to the point where I said that bit, and it was like vivid
you
in my mind.
You could see it.
Yeah, I could see him. I could see his reaction. Yeah. And I got some reaction. I got some negative.
That was going to ask, see if that was the biggest one.
No, definitely not. Definitely the bicycle one.
But you got some?
Yeah, some. And then, there was, it's funny, I had people, fucking lose their minds during the show. Like, one time, this lady left and, had to be escorted out. And then I went to the bar, and she was, sitting three stools down, and no one in between us. And she was just not looking. She was talking to somebody else. And she was like, that motherfucker.
You turned.
Yeah. And I was like, and she was like, man, if Joey was here, he would kick his fucking ass.
It's Joey. Just a friend of hers.
Her son.
Oh, her midget son?
Yeah.
Oh. And I was no, he wouldn't.
I think I could handle Joey. I mean,
he might.
I'm not a fighter, but.
That's what he even said. If it's like in a fight, I could just do this.
Yeah.
What is this? What's that act out? It's just holding him away?
Oh, no. I said.
There's
a few act outs in there, right? There's a few.
One, when you say, right, he's walking up to you and you go, and he's here. What is that?
He's going, hey, and I go here, here, and here. Like I'm showing you
pointing
where
at your waist.
Yeah, and my hamstring.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one is that he's going,
I try
to break the ice. So what I do is he's behind me, I'm here, he's there, and I go like this, and I just basically go.
Oh, you stare over him with your
right, and then I guess there's nothing,
like you're looking for a ship coming.
Yeah, in. Yeah, and then I gesture like I guess there's nothing there.
Yeah,
there's that one.
That's the only weakness with albums. Sometimes those physical things you're like,
yeah, physical things you want to see. It's part of why people, like I said, if you do it on an album only, and you have a special, and it's like a bit that you've wanted to show, it's how you're going to showcase it.
Yeah.
And then I had a guy one time, man.
What?
About that bit,
yeah.
Come up to me, followed me to the bathroom.
Followed you to the bathroom?
Like, yeah. After I got off stage. And I was like, he was like, hey, it's really funny stuff. And I was like, thanks, man. And he goes, yeah, my son's a dwarf. And he just looked at me. So I was like, it took me a second. I go, oh, shit. Like,
oh, you're being antagonistic.
Right. I go, okay. I just looked, I go, okay. And he goes, yeah, so... Yeah, it was really funny though. You had really funny stuff. We were having a good time.
He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, he didn't know what to do. Feel. And I just let it for him. I go, I understand it's offensive to you. And he goes, it's not offensive to me. It's offensive to him and what he's going to be. And I go, all right. And then he was like, but good stuff. And I go, okay.
He couldn't rationalize laughing and feeling like,
yeah, he was having a son. Yeah, hard time dealing with it. And I understood. And I was like, all right. And I was like, fuck, man. And then he walked away. And then I see the guy with a woman who's his wife, obviously, talking to the manager and of the club, and she
knew they were complaining
about it. Oh, she was crying and she was hysterical. And she was like, yeah, like she was like, he's such an asshole. And I hear the manager going, he's not an asshole. He's not an asshole. And then they have to leave. They're like, we can't even enjoy our evening. So he gives them free tickets. He's like, here's tickets to come back.
Love that.
And they go, okay. And then I'm like hanging.
It's a normal settlement for a comedy lawsuit.
Jesus
Christ. Here's two free tickets.
Here's two free tickets.
Because of your complaints.
Yeah.
Come drink more for us.
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget the wings are fantastic. he gives her, she's about to leave with him.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, by the way, when you come back, I can't promise the next guy won't talk about the same kind of stuff. So like he was like, you know, setting them up like this could happen worse next time. Just so you know.
Yeah. I saw Diaz once. We were in La Jolla together, me, him, and Kelly Kirsten. So I went up first, and that's when I was as dirty as I've ever been.
Yeah.
And then I guess this old couple, like sat there like, all right, he's just the first comic. Then Kelly Kirsten went second. And then once she started getting dirty, they came outside, and they're like, oh, this is ridiculous. They had to complain. And they said, we called. You said the 9 o'clock main room show would be clean. And he goes, oh, no, you called Hollywood. There's no main room in La Jolla Comedy Store. And she goes, no, you said the 9 o'clock show. Like, yeah, where you have an 8 o'clock show. You called Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where they have a 9 o'clock show in the main room, but they don't have that here. And she kept complaining. She's like, this is ridiculous. And then Joey, we were sitting down watching it from across. He just stood up, hadn't even been on yet. And he goes, get the fuck out of here, you cunt. Just call this 70-year-old lady a cunt. It's like, get the fuck out. You think anybody wants you here?
Oh my God.
I was like, whoa. Oh, so like, wow.
He said some shit that it makes me like blush. Like, I didn't think I could be fazed by what people say. just in public.
Yeah.
To like stuff I can't say. I'll tell you afterwards. That right. kind of stuff.
There's one question I had about stylistically.
Yeah.
When you say that line, like my ancestors didn't own midgets. Mm-hmm. There's a pause before you say midgets, and I want to know if that's because my forefathers didn't own midgets. Mm-hmm. You sort of just pause there. Was that to let them hear the setup more?
That was to the pause is because what's the alternative? My ancestors could have owned.
So let them understand black people.
Right. So you're going like. It's not the same because my ancestors didn't own midgets.
Right.
Yeah, so it's intentional. It's an intentional pause.
Sometimes if you talk too fast, or if I do anyway, my ancestors didn't own midgets. They'd be like, yeah, I know. Of course
right,
I know
right. midgets.
But you have to make them lead them down that way.
That pause heightens that moment.
Yeah.
You know? So like, and you get a bigger payoff because
it allows them to think about owning black people and owning all these things. And then when you hit them with midgets, like now that's different than what I was thinking.
Right, exactly.
And if you don't pause, you weren't thinking anything.
Yeah. It would going too fast there would screw that up.
Oh, that's cool. That's what I wanted to know if that was whatever or not. Okay, and then you're ending with this fucking crowd work thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you call it bonus track?
Because it wasn't like I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, end with some crowd work and be like, no, I'm out.
Yeah, I would have probably normally ended just like with a bit, like maybe like the midget thing.
Yeah,
and then the funny thing is too is like midget like. Things get like old, like now you can't like, I feel like a midget joke is just like, that's...
Things do get old.
Yeah.
Any gay joke? When I started, it was still acceptable to have gay as the punchline. Like, well, yeah. It shouldn't be so gay. And I'm like, but now it's like gay in and of itself.
Oh, gay is...
Comedy club audiences are like, that's not... I had like 8 gay friends in high school. What are you talking
about? Yeah, no, it's not. It's totally different. It's completely changed. And midget, like, I look back on, like, if it were like a current thing, I'd be like, ugh. Like, I'd be kind of like... Kind of embarrassing. Like I'm
starting to see some of the racial stereotype jokes going that way.
Yeah, like, yeah.
We've heard it. It's not really true anymore.
My old thing with that was just midget thing was just at the time it was not considered. It didn't feel like it was like you can't joke like that's old and hacky or whatever. But now it would feel like it is if I did it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody like, what's up? There's a black guy in the front. Is that cool?
Yeah, it's cool. And this city's really white, huh? Are you from here? Are you from here?
Georgia.
You're from Georgia. What are you doing here, dude? You like, really? You like the fucking... I didn't understand what the fuck you just said. That must have been some Georgia shit that doesn't... Yeah. How long have you been here?
About
15. 15 minutes? Oh, yeah. Because yeah. That would make sense. If you're like 15, I'm about to get the fuck out of here. Like, so you like it here. You really do. Because you have sex with a lot of white women, probably. It's all there is, and it's fucking easy. So. Is it not? How many fucking white women have you had sex with? Ballpark it. Well, look who's fucking here. A white woman. Hello. Hello. Do you know the gentleman sitting behind you? Really? How long have you been together? You're not together? He suggested that you are. This is the first date? I know what kind of porn you like.
We got a mini me.
Yeah. Have you had sex with a black guy? Yeah. Look how crazy a question that is for her. She's like, me? Fucking. Do you? I have a job. I don't know if you're fucking. That's what she did! What about you? Have you ever banged a black man before? She is thinking about it. What's your name?
Mo.
Mo. Do you have a cool black nickname? Mo? Well, what's your real name?
Sebastian.
What? Sylvester. Don't ever admit that shit, man. I know. What's up? I'm Mo. What's up, motherfucker? Mo. Mo money, Mo dick. You know what's up. Yeah, yeah. I know what's up. What's your name? Yes. Yeah. Jane. So white. One day you're going to have sex with a black guy. It'll go like this. I'll play both parts. You tell me. Okay. Just back me up. Just tell me if I'm doing. All right. You'll be standing at the bar like, I know I'm beautiful. What's up? And then an ice cold brother like Mo is going to walk up to you and be like, what's up? No, Mo, you just fucked your own game up. You're going to be like, what's up? And then Jane will be like, and then Mo will be like, you ain't got no man. And then Jane will be like, he went to the bathroom. See, I would never leave your side. I would never leave. And then you'll be like, really? Look, if you want to keep fucking with him, that's up to you. But if you want to come a horse-drawn carriage of Mo loving and Mo dick, I'll be over here. Like that. And if you're white and you're there, you'll be like, what the fuck was that? And then you look over and Mo riding the train in the corner of the club, right? White guys, we need to step up our shit. Right now, all we've got is, how you doing? I saw you talking to that black guy. You okay? All right, thank you guys very much. Have a great night. Thank you.
Keep it going for Tom, everybody.
Yeah, the black guy thing was like one of those things where like...
It's fun crowd work.
It's just fun crowd work. And there was, again, there was like, there's jokes in there that I know. And then there's stuff that just...
What?
Like the meat of like what I get into.
Oh, yeah.
Is like, you know, there's like, there's lines I've said, but like...
I view it as like, if for an album, it's like, or whatever. It's like, I have three or four or five bits, and I'm like, these are the bits I want to present.
Right.
And there's filler around that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like when ice skaters, when figure skaters do the thing where they just lift their arms up and they like gracefully glide from it. Yeah. Like, that's not the trick part.
Right.
That's just to make it all sound okay, look okay.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, it just came from talking to a guy in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, and that was all, like, it's funny, like people go, is he a plant? Like people ask, you know, when they go like, they ask me that at shows. When they ask you, they're like, that guy that you spoke to,
that's so much
that
your so
friend?
Little.
And I'm like, yeah, I flew him in and I got him a fucking ticket. I had him sit right there. I told him, I'm going to say this, then you say that. And then it would just kind of
work out. So much for not, for you'll probably get a black guy in your audience. It's not like you're getting a guy who's 9'2".
Right.
Well, you need a specific person for that.
No, yeah, it just...
I see a plant. That's my favorite. That's doing great crowd work.
That comes... Where does that go? That's another one that I haven't heard in so long. Where does it go?
The black guy?
Yeah.
Dating white women, what kind of porn he listens to, and then the white girl behind him who said, well, we're not together, it's just a date.
Oh, right, 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 yeah.
And just like, well, he thinks differently.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like, you know...
Pretty much just go, man, I'm out.
I don't love, like, all these jokes.
Yeah.
But like what we were saying earlier, it's just like that's what I was doing then.
Yeah, it is cool as like a record of that.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I feel like I hope that like years from now I can look at that and not be like, oh god,
disgusted.
Yeah, like not hate
it's still
myself.
Funny though, that's the thing, it's still funny, it's just you're picking out the nitpicking the moments here or there.
I definitely nitpick it more.
Yeah Where did the cover and the title come from?
The idea for the title, somebody I was talking about, I wrote out possible album titles.
Okay.
And they were all joke titles that like really made me laugh. Uh-huh. And I sent them to a few people and I got a phone call. One of them was like, are you fucking serious with this? And I was like, I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
Like they were all jokes. Like,
cause you don't want to take too seriously the naming of your album.
Yeah. And I was like, they were just stupid. Like, I'm trying to remember, like some of them were just like, you know, is that Four Fingers? Like stuff like that. Like just ridiculous titles. Right. Like it had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
What time does your dad get home? Like just stupid shit. Yeah. And he was like, these are terrible. And I was like, really?
Who was that?
Some fucking friend of mine. Not a comic.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
And then
I already had ideas, but go ahead.
So then he suggested, he goes, why don't you call your album Thriller 2?
To get press off. Like,
and I was like, and I thought that was really funny as a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
That's fucking funny. Like Thriller, like 2, like Thriller's the highest selling album of all time. So I called the record, the Rooftop, and I go, how about Thriller 2? And they were like, ugh. Like, we might run into like legal problems with that. And
yeah.
Like, they were like running it through their lawyers and they're like, I don't know, man, like his estate could possibly, like they gave me some legal thing. And I was like, you know what? Thrilled is its own word. It's one letter off from Thriller. So it still maintains the intention of like basically trying to, you know, it's the Thriller is just obviously one letter off, right?
Is that the same type font as Thriller?
Yeah.
Same type font.
And then I go, and then, so the thing that amused me if you were in iTunes and you were typing in looking for Michael Jackson's 100 million album selling Thriller, this would like in the auto type, this would
as
be next
T-H-R-I-L-E,
to it.
It would still be like, which one of these do you mean?
Which, yeah, that's what made me laugh.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was sold on the idea. I was like, that is fucking funny to me. And then this photographer, Lorenzo Hodges, I got in touch with him, told him the idea, and we shot this on his balcony. He had like a backdrop, and then somebody, I forget if it was him or somebody else, did like all the, like the kind of the glow lighting and everything.
They added that?
Like that's all post stuff.
Wow.
And then on the inside, you have the tiger.
Yeah. Is that part of Thriller?
That's part of Thriller, yeah. He has a tiger with him, so they put a baby tiger. I mean, not a real one. They photoshopped it in.
So is that the Thriller cover? Your cover is pretty much the Thriller cover.
Yeah, this is like a pretty much a direct.
Wow,
and like
a great
even
idea
like
and a great cover
hand gesture. Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you how many people have bought this at live shows because of the cover. They're like, I'm getting that. They just point to it. They're like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many people go, I like what you're doing, man, John Travolta. That's fucking awesome. And I never correct them. I'm like, yeah.
That's funny.
And sometimes they like,
nope.
They'll be like, this is Travolta, right? And I go, look at it. Like, really look at it. And they're like, yeah, Saturday Night Fever. I'm like, yep, it's good.
Just because it's a white suit?
Yeah. I'm like, look at the title.
Michael Jackson had a white suit too. Same clothes, right?
It's the same clothes.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's the same. It's the same position, the arm position, everything. Yeah.
Wow, can you believe he made a cover like that?
It's crazy.
Anything he does when he's singing about women, I'm like, looking back, I'm like, what? Who was he singing about?
Yeah.
Like, which dude did he have in mind? Which little boy did he have in mind as he's singing this thing? Like,
probably,
you got me, girl.
Probably a cute one.
Probably a cute one. Yeah. So that's it.
That was fun, man.
Thank you, Tom Segura.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hope
you can buy this album Thrilled on iTunes now or at your website.
Yes.
TomSegura.com.
If you go there, you can get a autographed one.
Autographed one. And you can see all your tour dates and stuff too.
Be in tour
San Francisco dates. Soon.
Yes. And then the new album, Completely Normal.
Completely Normal is out now. Guys, why would you not get that album?
Please do. It's bad. It's good. I like it.
It's bad. What are you going to say?
I was like, it's better than this one.
It's just because it's now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you enjoy that one for free. Fucking pony up $10. It's not even anything. Get the album.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. It's awesome that it went to number one already.
Yeah, that was cool. That's exciting.
Take a screenshot.
Of course.
Of course you did. Yeah, that's great. It's amazing that we can do this on our own.
I know.
And just be like, no, I don't need any of that stuff. And guess what? It'll still go to as high as it could possibly go.
Let's see. Is it, you think it's,
let's check right
now. I wonder if it's moved yet. Sometimes you see things in there like number one for like a five minutes.
Get that screenshot. Get that screenshot.
Get that screenshot right now.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do this. I should have gone this way. Comedy. Music. Comedy.
They can have the rankings.
That's still number one.
Number one.
All Let's right.
Let's cover of this.
There it is.
Why this cover?
I liked the title, Completely Normal.
Dope.
Yeah. And then I liked it just kind of being like something slightly off. Mm-hmm. From, like where you go like...
Yeah, you look sad.
Yeah? Yeah.
Pitiful.
Pitiful, yeah. Maybe. So
what's the off?
Well, I mean, the expression to me is a little bit off from mm-hmm. normal. And then I've heard a lot, and I kind of get it now. Like people are like, oh, like in my position, like my point of view is kind of like that. I'm sane, and other shit's crazy.
Yeah.
But then what I'm told, and I go, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. Is that they're like, yeah, but you're also a little off. Like, so you think you're normal, but you're not really normal.
It's from an abnormal point of view.
Yeah, yeah. And so I don't know. It was I didn't put
I like that.
Yeah, I didn't put like.
Because all your stuff is really about what you think is fine and normal.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then that's cool.
Yeah. So
who's number two?
Nate Bargatze is number two.
Oh fuck yeah.
Yeah, he crushed it on Tonight Show the other night.
Oh really?
And his album just went straight through the roof.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was great. And then I swear to God,
I love seeing these guys that aren't naturally big guys.
Yeah.
And when you're passing them, it's like, fuck yeah, we're doing it on our own. DIY, yeah. Motherfucker.
DIY. Bo Burnham's always up here. Fucking Gaffigan has like...
Two out. Yeah.
Oh, and then another one of his is 13.
He's got three in the top 13.
Yeah, and there's another one of his, I feel like... Yeah, it's not bad. I feel like there was another... Oh, here's him right here. That's also him.
He's got four in the top 13?
Yeah, he's number 4, 6, 8, and 13.
Wow.
And this is a pre-order.
Really?
It's for a new
one. Already
up
there.
It's for one that comes out in April.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's crazy. He's so prolific. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty nuts, man. I don't even know what this is. Starbomb? What the fuck is that?
I don't know what that is. Oh, that's the middle one?
It has 785 five-star reviews.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know what that is either. Starbomb. I feel like it's music.
Could be musical comedy. I bet it's music.
Here we
it's
go. Self-taught comedy duo joins forces. A synthed out nerdcore trio looking to take some...
Synthed out, yeah.
I don't... Fucking... With R-rated takes on video game classics. Great. I don't fucking know. It's always up there. They must sell crazy amounts of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, fuck yeah. TomSegura.com, Tom Segura on Twitter.
That's it.
That's all we have.
Oh, right. And Your Mom's House podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Check out our podcast. It's twice weekly, every Wednesday and Friday. And the site is YourMom'sHousePodcast.com. We do shows.
We're at Your Mom's House Studios right now.
We're here right now.
Is it the house? What do you guys call it?
This is called the Mommy Dome.
The Mommy Dome. All right.
Yeah. And we do live shows also.
You and Christina Pazitsky. Yep. Zizitsky, your wife.
That's right.
Fuck yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate you doing this. I want more comments to do it.
Thank you so much for suggesting it.
If you guys liked it, fucking hit Tom on Twitter, or even if you don't have Twitter, his thing, and tell him you enjoyed it so that more comments will do this. And buy his album so he's his bike, and more people will do this.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ari.
creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
I'm gonna bring it tonight.
Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Ha 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 ha